The following is a special local sports presentation on 92.1 WVTK. This is Middlebury Union High School football. All season long, catch every game, home and away, as the Tigers defend their state championship. Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK is brought to you in part by
your locally owned credit union, One Credit Union, Green Street in Virgins. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 70 years. Addison County Commission Sales, Addison County's premier destination for Vermont livestock. Martin's Hardware of Bristol and Middlebury, your True Value hardware store. Bordon Insurance of Middlebury, home of the co-op chicks for all your insurance needs. Eustace Farm Supply and Hardware, proudly started and run by the Eustace family of Britporch. Monument Farms of Weybridge, join the movement and support local farms. The A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol, sustainable timber harvesting and SFI certified. Vermont Field Sports, for all your hunting needs and a great selection of new and used guns, Route 7 in Middlebury. Mike's Auto and Towing, for all your car care needs and a whole lot more. Mike'sAutoMid.com. That's Mike's Auto, M-I-D-D.com. The National Bank of Middlebury, offering accounts for every stage of life to meet your financial needs in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Virgins. LaBerge Insurance, LaBerge equals insurance, Washington Street in Middlebury. Coolin Auto, changing the way you feel about buying a car in South Burlington and Barrie. Woodware Fine Furniture, Route 7 South in Middlebury. Desabre's Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat, 1232 Exchange Street in Middlebury, with a drop-off location at Linda's Apparel in Virgins. Foster Motors, home of the We Care People on Route 7 in Middlebury. Fourth and Goal, everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and diamond, 68 Main Street in Middlebury. Mike's Fuels, for all your home, business, and agricultural needs, Route 22A in Bridport. Della Motorsports in Plattsburgh, making your buying experience a pleasant one. And J.P. Carrera and Sons Concrete, always ready to mix, and they guarantee a solid finish. Call them at 388-6363.
And now, with the call of today's game, here's Bjarke Sears and Marshall Hastings on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Well, it's a beautiful day for a matinee, Marshall. We are up here at South Burlington to watch the Middlebury Tigers take on the Rice Green Knights, and it could not be any more beautiful version of fall out here. It's starting to warm up in the sunshine. The Green Knights are out of the field. And Marshall Hastings and I, Bjarke Sears, are glad to give you week 7 of the Middlebury Tiger football season on 92.1 WVTK. So, first of all, Marshall, week 7 of the season, 2 weeks left to go here, this one and then next week against CVU. What are your thoughts here as we go into today?
Pivotal point in the season. This is the point in the year where you kind of want to figure out all the bugs. You get, especially in the middle of a situation, you're 6-0, you're coming in, you're running that 28-game win streak, and you just want to come into the postseason here with some confidence. You got a pony here in Rice who's played some good football, but certainly has their lacks on both sides of the ball. So take advantage of the opportunities that you have today. Go out and put together the type of performance that gets you ready and makes you feel confident come playoff time. You don't want to enter the postseason with any question marks on either side of the football. And I think tonight's an opportunity, or today's an opportunity, to kind of figure out all the bugs and get that going towards the postseason run.
Middlebury Tigers, of course, coming in with a record of 6-0, having now won 28 straight games, ranking back through the last 3 years. Rice, in their first year in Division I in a while, a switch they did not want to make, and I think many people weren't necessarily that sympathetic to their switch, have come in today at a record of 1-5. As you mentioned, they have put some points on the board last week against the Hilltoppers at St. Johnsbury. They did manage to make 36 points, but they've allowed a lot of points, and Marshall, they allowed 54 points both of their last two games, the loss at Hartford, a loss at St. Johnsbury. Kind of an opportunity here for Middlebury's offense?
Absolutely. You look at the two big losses on that. You talk about St. J, but you look at Hartford and CVU, two run-based offense, 54 to Hartford and 42 to CVU, and I think that's got to be a sign of good things to come for Middlebury. This is a run-based offense, as we know, run-heavy, triple-option attack, and Rice has struggled to stop that. So I think today's an opportunity for Middlebury to take advantage of that. You know, like we talked about, this is an offense, and Rice is capable, but the defense certainly has some holes, and especially against running offense, and I think that we could see that a lot of that today with the Middlebury offense.
Certainly an exciting afternoon for football here. We're going to step aside for a moment. We'll be back with some more of the pregame. It's high school football on 92.1 WVTK and the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Fourth and Goal Sports opened in 1983 with the goal of being the sports shop for individual athletes and teams in Middlebury. They want to thank you, their friends, for helping them achieve their goal. For the best in sports equipment at the best price, there's only one place to go. Fourth and Goal in Middlebury. They're all about Middlebury College, too. Hats and sweatshirts for their home teams. Fourth and Goal, 68 Main Street, Middlebury. Everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and diamond.
Della Motorsports celebrates victory motorcycles with high performance.
Exhilarating experiences every week in the month of October.
Visit Della Motorsports to learn more and get up to a $1,400 rebate on off-road vehicles.
DellaMotorsports.net.
Up to $2,000 rebate on victory and a 5-year factory warranty on all remaining in-stock 2015 models with rates as low as 2.99%.
Certain restrictions and exclusions apply. See dealer for details. Always wear a helmet. Never ride under the influence.
Della Motorsports. 7 Della Drive, Plattsburgh.
DellaMotorsports.net.
That's right, folks. It's the most wonderful time of the year, hunting season. This is Paul from Vermont Field Sports, where you'll find everything you need for a successful season. We are proud to carry Browning's full line of hunting, shooting, and outdoor products. If you're looking for the very best in over and under, auto-loading, and pump action shotguns, Browning has the gun for you. And our staff has the experience to help you choose. Check out Browning accessories like cases, shooting bags, knives, lights, and outdoor clothing. Vermont Field Sports, located Route 7 South in Middlebury, or visit us on Facebook at VT Field Sports.
Desiberay Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat is located at 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury. Our dry cleaning department is open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 9 to 3 on Saturday for all your dry cleaning needs. We offer wash, dry, fold, shirt service, bulk rate dry cleaning, wedding gowns, rugs, Uggs, bedding, and alterations. The laundromat's open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. For our customers, there's free Wi-Fi available as well as a TV room. We have single load washers, up to 60-pound washers, and 30-pound to 75-pound dryers. Use our drop-off locations at Linda's Apparel in Vergennes and the Enchanted Closet in Bristol. Desiberay on Exchange Street in Middlebury.
This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Ed, and one of the nice traditions, certainly in high school sports, in the last regular season home game, teams make it their senior game. Last week was Middlebury's senior game, and they were taking on South Burlington. Today is the Green Knights' senior game. So as of right now, they're talking about their seniors out on the field, and certainly many of them. And that's certainly a group that's had a very successful time in their high school careers. And so it's a good chance for them to get hailed by the fans. How many fans here so far, Marshall? Fans are pretty empty so far.
No, I'm sorry. Matinee normally tends to pile in a little later, obviously, after the excitement of Friday night football. Kind of everyone amped up for those days. I remember Saturdays were always a tougher game to get fans to, as far as one year on the road if you're in Middlebury's situation. But also, the build up to a Friday night, it just almost seems like you'd rather be there Friday night. You kind of build up to the day. Saturday, I always got some family things. Fall going on, so you got some pumpkin, apple picking, simple things to do.
Or even just sleeping in if you're a teenager.
Absolutely.
So, keep it in mind, sorry, I was thinking about this on my drive up, and, potential here for a trap game for Middlebury. Middlebury's used to play it on Friday nights. This is their one, probably projecting out, their one Saturday game of the season. Rice, though, a better team than they look on paper, a team that throws it in the spread. What do you think of the potential for a trap game? Middlebury, without a lot to play for in a way, they're going to might assume that they have a win here.
Well, like you said, trap game as far as Rice has got a pretty potent offense. I mean, they put up some good numbers against some good teams. They certainly have had a tough go at it lately, but, the CVU game, you put up 20, you have a 20-14 lead at halftime. You put up 36 against St. J early in the season. You have that 34-28 kind of disheartening loss against Burlington week two at home. But I think the problem with this Middlebury schedule, this is the third consecutive week we talked about a trap game type of situation. I mean, this is you continue to play these lower ranked, an 0-5, a winless South Burlington team, a one win Essex, now one win Rice team. It's got to get to a point where, they've played the last two trap type games, pretty well, pretty effectively. I don't expect it to get to that point tonight, but it does start to draw a little bit that every week we have to talk about a trap game scenario for this football team, just because, the schedule hasn't been as strong as it has been years past.
And so in a way, even if it doesn't affect them today, and we talked about this quite a bit at the end of last week, that the potential of affecting Middlebury as they go forward, that's where it really probably looms larger.
I mean, the good thing is that if they can go out play some good football today and, get a good size victory, and you get a lot of confidence. Now, could it be, a false sense of confidence? Sure, but at least you got confidence going to the postseason.
Sure.
Whether it's, we've just played a bunch of bad teams, we we've blown them out, or we played bad teams, we've played them the way we're supposed to, we've put the lick to them. Now when we play a good team, it'll be competitive, but, you know, we're doing what we're supposed to do against teams that shouldn't be hanging around with us.
And in terms of doing what you're supposed to do, last week we talked about the importance, and Naito, you had talked about it a little bit before the game with Andy, the importance of coming out and kind of playing your game quickly. You know, but I scored quickly last week. Good to do that, and that was good for the game, but it was kind of in a way that's a little unusual for them, the long pass to Sawyer Ryan and the touchdown. I'm still not sure that we saw them come out and really play their offensive, typical game from the get-go. One would hope this afternoon, week seven, you know, you'd hope that this would be a chance to do that against a team that's allowed 56 points each of the last 2 weeks.
Going back to week three Brattleboro matchup, that was a football team, Brattleboro, that had given up a lot of yards on the ground to St. Jane Hartford in their first two games. And they came out firing quite a bit. They only scored 14 points in the first half, I believe, but they scored, you know, really quickly. They used the counter extremely effectively. And I think today has a similar type of, you know, projection. This is a football team in race that doesn't protect the run very well, and they've gotten blown up. I think Harper went for over 500 on them, and like we went all the way back to CVU, they racked up yards as well. So this is a football team in Rice that has been susceptible to the run. Middlebury, like we talked about earlier, is a run-heavy offense. I think this is a game that does project well for a quick start. Like you said, last week, the passing attack wasn't the typical quick start, but you'll take a quick start when you get it, especially when you end up needing those quick points at the end of that football game. So, you know, it may not always be the way you want to or you expect to get points early in a football game, but if you can get points and get up early, get some confidence going, put the other team on their heels, that's always a benefit, whether you get it on an interception, a punt return, or a pass touchdown.
That's certainly something we'll want to see today and then be looking out and see how that projects. Now, one other outcome, and people listening at home tracking these things, one other outcome of having had those 3 weeks of people with low records, and actually all season long, Middlebury playing teams that haven't had strong records, is it certainly affected them in the QPR. What's some of that effect then, Marshall?
Well, what it gets to is that now you're a football team, you're undefeated, you're the only team in the state in D1 that's undefeated overall. Now, Hartford and Rutland both have out-of-state losses now that they've gone back to playing out-of-state opponents, and they did for a number of years before the scheduling prohibited it. But what it does is that now you have this confidence. It can almost give you a chip on the shoulder. If Middlebury is going to go in, and it's projected out that they'll be the number 2 seed behind the winner of the Hartford-Rutland game, that'll in all likelihood be the number 1 team come the postseason. It gives them a chip on the shoulder. Hey, we're the best team in the state as far as record goes. We haven't lost at all. These two teams have lost out-of-state opponents, and we're the number 2 seed. It gives them a little chip of confidence that they need to get them, you know, disrespected by some people. Sure, the power rankings for the Brunswick Three Bears has them number 1 and all that, and that's fine and dandy, but in the actual standings, coming at number 2 has got to make you feel, man, we're better than this. We should be the number 1 seed. We should be the team that everyone wants to come after, and it may want make them play on a higher level than they would otherwise if they came in at the number 1 and said, all right, now we get everyone shot again. Now they come and say, now we get to be that the number 2 seed. Now we get to be almost the team that maybe not everyone's looking at. We want to prove we should be the number 1, and QPR means nothing.
And an explanation for people of what we're talking about with the QPR, although you have rankings that you look, you know, win-loss record, the QPR, which is really how the, whole sports operation, the Vermont Principals Association, looks at it. A QPR is a thing that factors in a variety of things, and most importantly for Middlebury, what it factors in when it figures out how many points each team has is what the opponents have for records. And really, it's a strength of schedule thing, for people who are familiar with that term. And so right now, Hartford and people can look and say, Hartford Rutland, they played one less in state game. Yeah. What gives? Why are they both ranked ahead of Middlebury, who's currently ranked third? And it's because of that strength of schedule. As a result, we're projected that Middlebury, you know, hopefully undefeated, will be in that second spot. They will not be first. There will be one of those other two teams. Whoever wins next week's showdown in Hartford between the Hurricanes and the Raiders, the winner of that will be number 1 in the state. We're going to step aside for a few moments here. We're going to be back with starting lineups and a few last-minute thoughts as we tick away towards our matinee. Well, I don't know who matinee is. Towards our matinee beginning here on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. We'll be back with a few words to finish off the opening part and get ready for the kickoff. You're listening to High School Football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
My grandfather once said, "People who care build something that people care about." It's not an easy process, let me tell you. But if you take it one brick at a time, the result can be outstanding. Hey, everybody, it's Alan Buzz Busby from Poulin Auto Sales and Service. And my grandfather was right. You've got to build something that people care about, or it's not even worth it. Over the past year, we've gone through a lot of changes. We've restructured. We're listening to you. We're working with folks, making good deals, good, honest honest deals, changing lives. It's a process, and it definitely takes time. At Pullen Auto Sales and Service, we're building something great, something that our customers care about, and we're inviting you to share in our success. So buy your next pre-owned car or truck at Pullen Auto Sales and Service on Shelburne Road in South Burlington or East Berry Road in Berry. Change really is good. Pullen Auto Sales and Service, changing the way you feel about buying a car.
There are many banks to choose from. There's just one which truly puts personal service first and foremost. That's One Credit Union in Vergennes. The people at One Credit Union specialize in making your banking an easy and positive experience. Add in their very competitive lending rates, low-fee banking services, and the many electronic banking options with 24/7 access to your accounts, you'll see why One Credit Union is gaining new customers every day. One Credit Union, Green Street, Vergennes. You'll like doing business with them. One Credit Union, federally insured by the NCUA.
Now back to the field for more Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
And the Middlebury Tigers have taken the field here. They're doing their warm-ups as Rice is finishing their senior day activities here. The parents have come out, and they've received flowers along with their children, and the children's families have joined them out. It's a beautiful day here at the Catholic High School here at South Burlington. There's activities going on. People were doing some family games and field games over on the soccer field a few minutes ago. Crowds starting to filter in. Just a really good vibe and environment for football. But Marshall, the field. The field's an interesting case. Tell us a little bit about that.
You know, all grass, obviously, as it is in Rice, but certainly torn up a little, quite a bit, actually. You look right around each 20-yard line, you got the field is kind of ragtag, sort of like the old, the primetime, you know, Doc Collins field prior before the introduction of the new drainage system. And certainly that's, you know, it shouldn't really affect this movement rate football team. This isn't an aired-out offense. It's more of a just ground it hard through each other. You know, you like this kind of like ragtag type of field. But it also looks pretty dry when you're looking out there during pregame. Not a lot of slipping and sliding from last night's rain. So I think as far as field conditions go, it doesn't look the prettiest. But certainly once you get out there and you feel the you know, how solid it is underneath them, the field shouldn't play a big problem in today's in the game.
I'm kind of struck by whether the field is a bit of a self-inflicted wound. If you look out, usually in Middlebury, the Doc Collins thing you mentioned, it's between the 20 and the 40, and then on each side of the field, and that's generally where you're going to have most of your possessions at the highest rate of the time. And then in between the numbers, as you might call it, typical sense, or in between the hash marks on either side, here there's this strange depression that looks like it's about at the 15-yard line. And I wonder whether that's a result of them practicing field goal work on that end.
Honestly, it's probably lacrosse work. They use this field for lacrosse, and actually at Springfield College, they had to replace the two men's lacrosse goals, and there's actually a circle of turf that was cut out, artificial turf that was cut out of the back corner of the turf, and they cut out a giant circle, and they cut it into halves, and they put it into the new spot. So now that's probably where you're going to put the goals, which is actually exactly where, 15 yards out. You're going to put the goals for men's lacrosse, so the goalies are going to be sitting in there tearing it up, running back and forth, and, you know, as the, you know, seasons go on, the grass continues to tear up. So that's probably right there is where you're looking at, in all likelihood, the lacrosse goals are ended up paying their dues, I guess, going forward.
And the wisdom of Marshall Hastings on that, if you look at the other side of the field, which is in better shape, you do see there's some replacement grass. Maybe they did some work in some spots there, because you do see that. So certainly the field doesn't look like hopefully it'll be too much of an issue. And actually, you know, really, for either one of these teams, one would have to think based on their offense, probably more of an issue for Rice, even though it is their home field, when you have receivers who are going to need to make quick turns and routes, comebacks, things like that, that's going to be maybe more of an issue than some of these Tigers runners who tend to rely a little bit on straightforward speed, just putting their head down and going through a hole.
Absolutely, but like we said earlier, it's in warm-ups, you didn't see a lot of slipping and sliding. The field doesn't look wet. It's just, you know, patchy. That's kind of it. So as far as field condition, it does look pretty dry. And outside of maybe one spot down on the Tiger 20 right now, it looks a little muddy, but other than that, it feels pretty dry, and I don't think that Rice should have too much of a problem dealing with footing, running routes on end of passing attack.
So as we tick down towards the beginning of the game, Marshall, why don't you give the people at home some starters here? I think that's probably what they're about to do from the press box as well.
We'll start with the Rice offense. Up front, we got Jacob Messino, David Wicks, Noah Viner, Matt Bergeron, and Shia Van Dort on the offensive line. Wide receiver, Bo Popart, Greg Bulger is the number one target in the offensive pass in the game. In the backfield, Cameron Cousineau, under center, will be Jack Fitzgerald. They're also looking at Joey Hester and Kevon LaMontagne. And don't forget JoJo Mbayu, who was getting a lot of reps at the halfback position, could be swapping in with Cam Cousineau for the Green Knights. Then on the Tiger defense, in the back end, safety Oakley Gordon, Chase Messner at cornerback, Andrew Gleason, and Jack. Defensive end will be Brady LaRocque and Jerry Nemo. Up inside, we've got Wyatt LaBerge, and of course, we've got Bruce Wright. As well as in the middle, we have Nick Beauchamp. At linebacker, Sawyer Ryan continues to get the start as the Tigers continue to miss the services of Cortland Fisher. On the defensive side of the ball, he will be starting at fullback, and at the other linebacker position will be Captain Chris Greer.
And thinking about the Tigers defense that you just mentioned, Marshall, just doing some quick math here, the Tigers have intercepted 10 balls so far this year. And Oakley Gordon himself has been responsible for 6 interceptions from his defensive back position. What accounts for some of those, that high rate of ball takeaway?
You've gotten big leads on a lot of teams right now, Middlebury has, especially in the second half, and that's led to the opposing offense having to air the ball out a lot more. And when you get into these panic passing situations, the secondary can basically just sit back and wait for you to throw it to them. And Oakley Gordon has just been in the right place at the right time from the safety position. He's done a good job reading quarterback size. A lot of these quarterbacks are single read, so they see their first guy they want to throw to, and they kind of just lock onto him. If he's not open, they still kind of tend to throw it to him or scramble. They don't go through the progression, something we've talked about a lot throughout the season. A lot of quarterbacks, Middlebury space, don't go through the progressions of, okay, first read, second read, third read, maybe all the way to the fourth read. They don't really have the time also to do that right now. So the result of those high interceptions is they're getting a big lead and forcing a lot of teams to pass the football. And a lot of teams that tend to not be passing offenses now, like Middlebury, has struggled at times in their passing game throwing interceptions. Leave that when you're not used to passing and you start having to. So passing isn't as well-rounded as maybe for spread offense.
And so you get a chance to kind of be able to read that. Oakley certainly is a quarterback, kind of knows where a quarterback may go, and that does a nice job reading that. So Rice saw one of the coin toss. They have deferred, so Middlebury will be receiving the ball to start the game. Not Coach Smith's preferred way of having it start, but certainly not something he'll have any problem with. First, one other interesting thing as we think that here towards the anthem, do a statistical analysis of the running backs. So it's interesting. Pretty much everyone averages about 6 yards, 5 yards or so. Jerry Nemo averaging 11.5 yards a carry, Marshall. What have you thought about his usage this year?
I think it honestly could be a lot more. I think that yards per carry average is certainly ballooned by a 61-yard touchdown last week, and he's a guy that hasn't gotten a lot of carries on a consistent basis. Has spent a lot of Trey Kaufman and Ali Abdul-Sader in the backfield, and I really like the way he's run. We've talked about that a lot throughout the year. He runs very relentlessly. He's very reckless, but in a good, controlled way, you know, comparing him to a Tasmanian devil. He hits that hole hard, and he goes wild once he hits it, and I like that type of run style. I think he could be an X-factor for this offense going forward, a good running offense.
And we're going to step aside for a moment, and we'll be back for kickoff on the One Central Credit Union Radio Network.
A great way to start off your day is with Monument Farms hot chocolate. Just pop their signature chocolate milk in the microwave, and you have instant delicious hot chocolate. Great for the kids before they head outdoors and to school. You can find all Monument Farms local products in many area stores. And if you live nearby, please stop into their popular dairy store Mondays through Fridays. Monument Farms, landmark quality from the heart of Vermont in Weybridge.
Is your car in need of repair? Do you need a tow or maybe just general maintenance? I'm Mike McGrath from Mike's Auto. Here at Mike's, we do it all. We tow cars, we fix cars, we sell cars. We have storage and U-Haul, we have master ASC certified techs, and we guarantee all of our work. So if your car or truck vibrates, rattles, whines, knocks, or just plain leaks, give us a call or hit us online at mikesautomid.com. You can even like us on Facebook. And remember, if we can't fix it, it ain't broke.
For just what you need to get your projects done right, shop Martin's True Value Hardware and Radio Shack. Hi, I'm Kathleen Clark. These football games. Oh, what does that mean? The striped guy has his two arms up in the air.
It means it's good for the Tigers. Looks like they're headed for another win. Keep up the winning tradition, Tigers.
For all your fall needs, shop Martin's Hardware in Bristol and Middlebury. Behind every project is a true value.
If it's Tiger football, it's on WVTK, Fort Henry, Ticonderoga, Middlebury. 92.1 WVTK. This is where the Middlebury Tigers play. 92.1 WVTK.
And we're getting set to start here at South Burlington, Vermont, as the Middlebury Tigers are taking on the Rice Green Knights of 92.1 WVTK, Port Henry, and Middlebury, Vermont. And so for the Tigers, their one afternoon matinee game, a little bit of an adjustment for them. They got to get up, have a nice solid breakfast, get on the bus around, I think 10 o'clock or so, maybe a little earlier, get up here, closer to 9:30, they like to travel early. And for Rice, something they're very, very used to. This is the way Rice plays. And if anyone wonders about the way the day-night things work, Rice does not have lights. And as a result, Rice always plays in the afternoon. Next weekend, the Tigers will be taking on CVU, and although originally scheduled, may even pay attention to the home, originally scheduled for the afternoon, CVU has actually rented lights, and the Tigers will be taking on the CVU Redhawks at 7 o'clock next Friday, right here on 92.1 WVTK.
I'm going to wonder about that, especially if the ball gets up in the air, because you can't expect the lights to be, 40, 50 feet up there, which is exactly what you want, because you're looking at possibly, construction lights, potentially, is what I would imagine. Could be a problem when the ball gets up beyond those lights. He was tracking it.
Could be awfully interesting. We will see. And Rice is up and getting ready to knock it off. And they squib it down along the field. Chase Messer comes over to the near sideline and lets it roll out of bounds. So that will be a quick penalty there against the Green Knights. Will affect where the Tigers start. And the good news is they'll be able to start ahead of that dirt patch out there on the far in the middle of the field. So Middlebury is going from the roughly south to the north here, from your left to your right on your radio dial. Rice will be going for the right to the left.
As typically Dennis Smith does, goes toward offshore re-kick. This is a game-changing punt and kick return team, and you always want to get an opportunity to use that reverse and fake reverse to your advantage. And, I've played in games where we've had him re-kick it three times and ends up resulting in a touchdown. So this is certainly not a surprise to see him force the re-kick.
And you always liked it when they said,
"Oh, hello,
I love it." And here they go. They're set to kick it off. And this time, we'll have a nice re-kick. They're going up high. Messer brings it in right around the 20. And this time, he keeps it himself, going to the far sideline, kind of not accelerating very quickly, though, and quickly wrapped up by the Green Knights at around the 25-yard line.
Looks like close to the 30 now, looking at the sticks, but that's going to be about a loss of 10 yards, considering where the penalty was. But with that capability of that game-changing punt and kick return, you take that risk. You lose 10 yards, that's all right. You want that opportunity for a big touchdown here, especially on the first drive.
Well, you're right. It is about the 31, and this is going to be something I have to admit I'm going to have a challenge with all afternoon. There's no marks on the field, and the lines are very hard to see, so we are going to do our best. Gordon under center at the 30. 0-0. Tigers about to take off for the first time. Gordon hands it off to Trey Coffin, coming from the right to the left. Gets a nice hole on the left sideline. Plows forward for about 10. Close to the first down there over at the far side 40.
That's similar start to what we saw in Brattleboro. The counter worked exceptionally well. Trey Coffin able to get to the corner and get to the perimeter. That's something we saw a lot on that opening drive, especially from Trey Coffin, was the effectiveness of the counter, which led to that opening score.
And that was a 9-yard gain, so it's going to be second and one for the Tigers. And Ali in motion coming from the left to the right. Oakley heading it back to Trey again. Is finding a hole on the left side, this time right outside the tackle. Moving forward for a gain of about 5 yards or so.
Good patience from Trey Coffin there. Could have easily bounced out to the outside. There was no corner on the edge there, but would have also strung out the play and given him an opportunity to get a tackle. Did a great job following the hole, hits one more hard, gets the first down, lives for another down.
Tigers setting up on their own 46 or so here with Oakley under center, two tight ends, and three running backs. Gordon calls them. He's got Ali going from left to right. This time it's Corlin Fisher taking the ball. It's Oakley, holds it to himself, pitches it out to Ali on that right side. Kind of running forward, finding some holes, able to get up. He's going to be close to a first down, maybe a shade short of the sticks.
That's a good play. A great read from Oakley. Gordon does a great job. First, the initial read, but then also the pitch. You like to see Oakley Gordon bounce back to the outside, not the inside there. The rest of the defense for Rice is going to be closing in on him as he cuts inside. It's going to essentially eliminate any potential for a long game. You bounce that outside, you may get tackled, but you also have the capability that no one else is to the perimeter, to the sideline. You break that tackle there, and it's free running the rest of the 45 yards he has to go.
And they are positive to take a measurement here. It's 0-0 early in the game here, Middlebury and Rice. 10:40 left to go in the first quarter. Middlebury right now keeping on the ball on the ground, and they're going to be very close to a first down.
Tiger Football brought to you by Mike's Auto and Towing for all your car care needs and a whole lot more. Mike's Auto online at mikesautomid.com. That's Mike's Auto, M-I-D-D.com.
And it is the first down for the Tigers, so it's going to be first down from about the, well, that's the 30-40, for about the 44 of the Rice Green Knights. I wish the 50 was at least bright. All right. And it's Gordon under center. He looks to hand it off to Fisher, who carries it off the middle and gets stopped pretty quickly. Maybe a gain of one on that first down run.
That's well defended by Rice. They do a good job of forcing that ball inside. The defensive end plays his man, which should be the quarterback in that read option look. So he plays Oakley Gordon well, forcing the ball inside, and then he's in a position where the rest of the tacklers get one hand on Cormac Fisher. There's a guy that you got to group tackling. He will run through arm tackles, able to come in and make the play then on the play as well. That was for Rice. Kevin LaMontagne.
Second and nine from the Tigers from the Rice 43. This time the tight ends are standing up and Trey Coffin's motion out to the outside as they're running to a receiver, but it goes to Ali Abdul-Sidr on the right side, coming back towards the inside. Nice gain there by Ali. A gain of about 15 yards on the second down run.
Fantastic play. They run the jet sweep to get the corner outside of the play and then run the counter back right behind it. And that's a great play. A little bit more patience from Ali Abdul-Sidr would have broken that play even deeper as Nick Beauchamp, the leading guard there was wide open, backside tackle, so he was pulling tackle, had one-on-one with the corner. A little bit more patience, a lot of that block to get set, and you can count that out for another 6 points.
And the Tigers have one wide receiver, and there are three setbacks. Gordon under center. This time Trey's moving from right to left and gets the pitch out to the left side. A lot of space there. Bruce Wright leading him on the outside. Trey cuts it inside of Bruce, goes up for a very nice gain, a gain of about another 15 yards or so, maybe 16 yards.
And this is a Tiger offensive line that's doing a great job getting next level. The initial blocks are being made, but obviously on the offensive line, you don't need to block that nose tackle for the entire play on the top. Great job getting to the next level and creating box downfield.
Tigers at the 15 of the Rice Green Knights. Trey in motion again. Trey with the ball again. Trying to get over that left side, which he's able to do. And even though he gets kind of trapped up pretty quickly, gets about 3 yards on the carry. So right now, Middlebury, every time they're touching the ball, they're getting some work done.
And this is something that we've seen a lot of from Rice throughout the season. Some tough games against Hartford, St. James, CVU, some run-based offense. They've struggled to slow it down, and Middlebury's been no different. A very potent offense coming in, and it continues to roll and continues to plug away on this opening drive.
And Gordon coming under center. He's got one receiver out to the right, three running backs. He's got Jerry Demo in motion this time. Oakley's keeping himself. Flips that to Demo on the right side. One nice defense there by number 18 of the Green Knights. Comes up and puts a stop on Demo. Keeps him from really gaining any yardage.
And that's tough. It's tough to slow down Jerry Demo, but they do a good job of it there, forcing him outside. The option can often be, slowed down by just good pursuit. They force Demo to slow it down a little bit. This is a guy that runs hard, unable to do so on that play.
And it's 3rd and 7 here for the Middlebury Tigers at about the 13 of the Rice Green Knights. And Oakley coming under center. He has Chase Mester off to the right, and he has Nemo in the backfield with Kaufman and Fisher. Kaufman going into motion from the right side to the left. And this time, Oakley Gordon running out to the right side. He's got a wide open man in the end zone, and that's a touchdown for Sawyer Ryan. Oakley went out to the left side, and nobody even paid attention to Sawyer. That's the first touchdown of the day for the Middlebury Tigers.
That's a great job. Athletic play from Oakley Gordon in the backfield. They break through there. They aren't expecting the pass, which allows Sawyer Ryan to get back over the top. But a fantastic job from Oakley Gordon to evade the tackle, gets into a throwing position, and hits Sawyer Ryan for the second consecutive beat wide open downfield.
And now Oakley's going in to put up the extra point here. And for the Tigers, that's about as good a way for the game to start as you could possibly hope for. And the snap is coming to the holder, and Oakley puts it up, and it is good. Tigers ahead, 7-0, with 7:58 left to go in the first quarter. You're listening to high school football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Look under your feet. That's concrete. And whether it's at home, on the farm, or in the workplace, concrete makes up foundations, sidewalks, barnyards. There are lots of uses for concrete in Addison County, but there's only one place to get it. J.P. Carrera & Sons. Their state-of-the-art plant, modern fleet of red, white, and blue trucks, and experienced drivers ensure the quality and efficient delivery of your concrete, crushed gravel, wash sand, and stone. Route 116 Middlebury, 388-6361. J.P. Carrera, the name in concrete.
Now back to Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
Kickoff.
And if what we wanted to see from a Middlebury perspective was Middlebury get into their style of football and grind the ball and be able to move it here and get off to that kind of Middlebury start, that was certainly what we got in that first drive.
Yeah, it was a potent offense. This is, like we said, it's a run defense, and Rice that had struggled, and Middlebury took advantage of that. Great job getting everyone involved, including Trey Coffin, 33 yards on 4 carries. That counter is working extremely effectively. Ali Abdul-Slater had a couple long runs on the counter. Expect more of that for the Tiger offense going forward.
Oakley Gordon set to kick off to the Green Knights, who are standing at about their own 10, and it's a short one, bouncing around, and dribbled down by the man, kind of fumbled off his fingers, and caught up at the center of the field, rips the move to run, though, avoiding some tacklers, getting him to about a 33 on that run. That was number 10. Did you get rid of my extra papers here? That was Jack Fitzgerald. So the everyone, the whole field experienced a loss of power there, so it was not us, I promise you. And to get you up to date here, Rice has been moving down the field and a nice pass there. They are currently at first down at about the Middlebury 43.
This is Cam Kuzo and Jack Fitzgerald. That's two big things for this Rice Green Knights offense. Two guys who expect out of the backfield and the passing game. And like we talked about, this, so Tigers secondary that has struggled a little bit, so Rice looking to take advantage through the air.
And with four wide receivers and one setback, and the quarterback in the shotgun for the Green Knights, that's Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald back looking well downfield. He's got an open man, but overthrew him. That was Greg Bolger streaking down the middle of the field. Tall sophomore there for Green Knights, but nothing there. So it'll be second down coming up for Rice.
Kim Bolger, a big game last week at St. J. Four receptions for 79 yards. He's a guy that certainly can be the leading horse in this passing attack, and expect Fitzgerald to look to him early and often and try to get this offense going.
Fitzgerald in a no-huddle, checking towards the sideline. Fitzgerald from the shotgun gets the snap, flicks it out to his running back, headed towards the right sideline, getting some good space. About a five-yard gain there for Joey Hester, senior captain and running back.
And this is not a Rice football team that lacks athleticism. It's a football team that just lacks size. And against Middlebury, expect them to take advantage of that size advantage inside. But as far as athletes go in the wide receiving and in the backfield, Rice is just as good, if not just as athletic, as Middlebury right now.
The carry was by Cousineau, the senior running back. And Fitzgerald in the shotgun with Cousineau behind him and two wideouts to the left, two wideouts to the right. He's checking over, getting his signals, calling him out. And here comes the snap in the shotgun. He takes it, throws it out to that right side. Shut off the man's hands, but able to bring it in. That was Greg Bolger with the catch from Fitzgerald. Right about at the sticks. We'll see if they give him a first down.
Tiger Football brought to you by the National Bank of Middlebury, offering accounts for every stage of life to meet your financial needs. In Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Regen. That's the second target for Bolger here on this drive. He was overthrown going downfield earlier. They get him going on the screen pass to the right. Expect more of that. He's a very talented wide receiver for this team and a guy they'll turn to a lot to try to get this offense going outside of Fitzgerald.
And they give the first down to the Knights. They're moving down the field. There's 7-12 left to go in the first quarter. Middlebury Tigers leading the Green Knights by a score of 7-0. Fitzgerald back in the shotgun, looking over to the sideline and waiting for the snap. Here it comes to him, and he looks downfield. Then he tries to get the running back on a wheel route towards the left side, and they actually lose yardage, significant amount of yardage lost on that, about 7 yards or so lost as he threw it out to Cousineau.
And that's a great play from Brady Leroy for the Tigers on the defensive end. He sees Cousineau break from the backfield, knows that's going to be where they're coming. It's something worked on in practice, that little swing pass, and a great job to trail him down and make sure that nothing is gained where no one's behind Leroy. Cousineau would have a ton of room to run.
Fitzgerald, four wide receivers on the near hash mark. A lot of space over to the right side. He's looking towards that right side. He gives it out to his man at the stick, his own stick, and he's going forward about gaining some of what he was waiting for back, but not able to even get back to the original line of scrimmage on this play. Gate of five, bringing up 3rd and 11 for the Rice Green Knights.
And that's Bolger again, someone they're going to look to a lot like we talked about. This is an offense that has moved the ball well, but they're going short and underneath, something that's kind of been the bugaboo right now for the Tigers in the secondary. Those underneath passing games.
Third down for the Green Knights. Fitzgerald drops back looking high. He's got his man going across the middle, but again, the same route with the same result. Just overthrowing Greg Bolger. It's there, Marshall. They're just not connecting on it. It's going to be fourth down for the Rice Green Knights.
Very reminiscent of the Colchester game where the Tigers just allowed a lot of plays over the top, and yes, it's overthrown, but that's the second time that Bolger was actually open, had that ball been, you know, 2-3 yards shorter. That's a completion. A touchdown solely on that one. The other one may have been tracked down with a defender close in his pursuit, but that's a, you know, not a great offensive possession, but not terrible as well for Rice. You move the ball, you get some confidence going.
From the Tigers 35, the Green Knights are still electing to punt it, and not a tremendous punt from that standpoint. It's going to go out somewhere around the 20 or so, I would think.
And that is... No, they're going to pull it back.
Yeah, they are.
Still going to be within the side of the 20. But, you know, certainly a 3rd and 11 there. You go for it, and you're giving the Tigers great field position. Now you're putting that at the 20, so about a 12-yard loss, so to speak, from where it would have been had the Knight Rice gone for it and not completed that fourth down conversion.
Yeah, it was a tough spot to try to complete a fourth down conversion because they were looking over 10 yards, so certainly not something that's easy to do. Even with your passing game, certainly having some potential. You know, I just have to say, I know it's Saturday afternoon, but I feel like everyone's running in mud here today. It just seems like everybody's moving fairly slowly out there.
It's not a fast track. That's for sure, and it may be dry, but that doesn't make it fast.
So the Tigers now in Gordon under center with his two tight ends down on the line, and Trey Coffin coming in for motion, and Trey Coffin getting a huge hole up the center as he busts forward, gaining about 7 or 8 on that first down run.
This is, again, right back to where they started on the last drive, the gouging up the center of this defense. It's a good athlete to the secondary, the linebacker position right now for Rice, but not so much on the offensive line. Middlebury's got that physical advantage. They look to take advantage, and they continue to do that here on the second possession.
Second down at 2 for the Tigers from their own 28, Gordon under center. And Gordon takes it, and looks like he's holding it onto it for himself on that left side and getting some nice space up that left sideline. Rice not throwing very quickly to the running back. Nice pickup there of about 15 yards for Oakley Gordon.
What we're seeing is just there's no perimeter being set right now by this Rice defense. Middlebury on every possession and every play has been able to get to the corner. Then on the counters, on the tosses, and now on that last one on a QB keep, there is no perimeter being set by this Rice defensive end cornerback. And Middlebury is taking full advantage of it.
So, Gordon, keep doing what you're doing here if you're the Middlebury Tigers. Gordon with his three running backs. Gordon under center, taking it, looking out. Jerry Nemo getting it from the left side, going to the right. Lots of space there. Bruce Wright working to get his man down. There's going to be a block in the back, though. And over on this near side, as Jerry went across the 50 and then went out of bounds, that is going to be coming back against the Tigers. The man Bruce Wright was trying to block just made it a little hard for Bruce by turning back and forth and back and forth, and Bruce just ends up shoving him over.
And that's a tough play because that corner, again, was set, and Nemo was able to get to it. A little bit better job after Nemo set up that block. You know that you got your big hefty waiting for him on the inside. If you give him a cut, turn that defender back in, they can run right into it. There's going to be no penalty. That way Bruce isn't going after the cornerback, and he's running right into him. And, you know, that's going to be it would have been a 12-yard gain right about, and you look on extending that even further. Now you lose about 15.
So it's going to be first and 15 for the Tigers from the 38, from their own 38 here, a little closer to this side of the field, so on the right side. And Middlebury comes back. This time they have their two tight ends standing up. So that's Sawyer and Brady standing up with three running backs. Trey in motion from the right to the left. Oakley moving that way after he gets the snap. Looking to keep it himself. Lots of space on that far sideline. Running up and getting a nice gain there. Nice gain of probably around eight or so.
And how about the most athletic play of the day? Maybe Jed Malcolm has a hurdle over the incoming defender in Oakley Gordon there. Nice play by Coach Malcolm there. But again, the perimeter is not being set. The Tigers are able to get to that. They do a little QB bootleg there. Opens up the corner for the Tigers, and they continue to be able to set the perimeter and then make big runs after it, because once they get to the edge, they have the main advantage because everyone else is left inside.
And it's not just blocking. The Tigers wide to do a great job blocking all year, but it's also just tons of space being left out there. Oakley under center, and he's taking it back. This time he's heading. Jerry gets a nice hole up the middle and busts through for a nice gain. That's going to be a first down for hard-running Jerry Nemo.
And again, this is Jerry Nemo. He comes in at 11 yards per carry. He gets about 9 right there. He does a fantastic job. A little patience. He runs wild, but he has patience there. He's able to set that block, unlike he did on the last time. A little sidestep, pulls the defender outside. And right there, I believe that was... must have been Nick Beauchamp coming in, and he seals out the cornerback and able to open that up for first down for Jerry Nemo.
Tigers with a 7-0 lead with 3:57 left to go in this first quarter, and they're on the move once again. Oakley taking it, running back, looking for somewhere to throw, isn't able to, keeps it himself, going towards that left sideline again, and picking up space when it didn't look like he had any. That's a pretty nice first down run of about 4 for Oakley Gordon when it looked like things might be falling apart for him.
Great athletic play from Oakley Gordon, and again, the breakdown for the second consecutive time on the play-action counter pass. Sawyer Ryan was open over the top, just like it was with a touchdown pass on the opening drive. But Oakley Gordon, he's got about 3 or 4 right screen nights right on top of him as he's trying to make a throw. Does a great job to get about 4 yards there. But this is an offense that if they can protect in the pass, they've got men open deep downfield on play-action.
Second down in a log 6 from the Rice 43 for the Middlebury Tigers. And Gordon under center with his two tight ends standing up, 3 setbacks and a double wing in the backfield. And Gordon gets the snap, goes back, and this time it's the fullback up the middle. Cortland Fisher running right up through, gaining a first down. Not a lot of wiggle needed there, just put his pads down and went forward.
What we're seeing is a great feeling right now on any counter looks for the Tigers. That was going to be a fullback trap, so they're going to fake the pitch going left, and they're going to just bring it back right underneath the Cortland Fisher to the right side. And a great job on the right side offensive line, Bruce Wright and Chris Greer, sealing the linebackers in, allowing the pulling guard to get through and open up that hole for Cortland Fisher.
And Tigers now have 1 receiver out to the left side and 3 running backs. Gordon under center. Nemo in motion from the left to the right, but it's going to go to Fisher, who finds the hole on the left side, moving forward for a gain of maybe 1. Nice job of pursuit by the Green Knights.
And that was the first play that we've seen the counter not work. Rice does a good job sealing that and getting backside pressure, which once Cortland Fisher tries to plant his foot and get upfield, because the blocking there at the corner at the defensive end was there, they got a man right on his back pocket able to bring him down. The first time we've seen that from Rice to get some back.
But when they moved the running back from the left to the right on that, there was no one else who could really go with him. And when Fisher went up the middle of the hole, the defenders who were there kind of had to stay there even with the movements. There wasn't a lot of space. And it's Gordon this time rolling out to his right. He's being pursued. He's got a man open. But in such hot pursuit with a couple of Green Knights, he was unable to get it to Trey Kaufman, who is going towards this near sideline. It's going to be 3rd down for the Tigers.
So here's a positive and a negative from that play for Rice. So the positive is the 3 passing plays that Middlebury is trying to put together, the play action. You've had great quarterback pressure on him. The problem with that is now guys are getting open underneath. Now, they did have Sawyer Ryan covered over the top, but they had Chase Messner wide open in the flat. Actually, it might have been Trey Kaufman in the flat. They're getting a lot of pressure, but the problem is if Oakley Gordon can just get the ball off, they're the wide open man downfield.
I think that was David Wicks on the pressure from Rice. And Gordon has the ball. He flips it over to Chase Messner, who's got some space. They're going towards the left side. One man to beat to keep going, and he does. He rips the man off his leg. Keep going. What a great gain there by Chase. Very nice pickup of about 13, Marshall? Maybe a little more?
That's a good reverse. You pull it out there on 3rd and long, and you got to give credit. Greg Bulger was the man that Chase Messner was able to shed the tackle of. But if Greg Bulger doesn't throw Chase slow Chase Metzner down at all. That's a touchdown. So it's, you know, a tough play from Bolger to not be able to get the tackle. But what he does, he slows down Metzner, able to get reinforcements in, and the Knights are able to bring him down at about the 12-yard or 17-yard line.
Setting up from the 17, as you say, are the Tigers for the first down. And this time, Gordon has three wide receivers, an unusual look, but they go to a usual play, handoff up the middle to the fullback, who gets stacked up within about 2 yards from the line of scrimmage. Fisher just put his head down and barreled forward.
And we continue to see just about every other possession, or every other play, rather, the counter look for the Tigers. They haven't gone to the typical triple option look. They're going to the counter, and they're getting a lot of movement on the offensive line, and that's causing a lot of problems for Rice. Like we said, not as athletic up front as they are in the tail end of that defense, and they're taking advantage of that on the offensive side of the ball for the Tigers.
Tigers with four wide receivers, basically, so they're close to the center. It's not like they're spread way out, but four receivers. And they go to this near side, Trey Coffin getting into some space, turns the corner at the five, at the four, dancing out, looks like his foot probably went out at the three. No, they gave him the touchdown. Dancing along the sideline, getting back inside that last defender, able to get inside the pylon. Tigers get a second touchdown on the board.
And that was a great play from Trey Coffin. I thought he may have stepped out of bounds to the three. They ruled and he stayed in. But a great play from Trey Coffin. Chase Metzner looks like he slipped on the offensive side or on the wide receiver position. Misses the corner. Trey Coffin then put a little wiggle on. Gets to the corner. Then out of the 3 yard line, comes to a complete stop. Lets the defender run out of bounds before diving into the end zone. Great play. And this passing offense is looking potent when Coakley Gordon has time.
And the snap is up. He gets caught by Andrew Gleason, who was actually able to bring it in and set it down. The kick was short, but there was a penalty call. So we'll see what happens on that play. It's going to be encroachment on the Green Knights. Tigers will get another chance to kick this extra point.
Yeah, and that one was dead on the far side. The guy slips across, and then kind of everyone, they hear the whistle, and everyone kind of comes through, which led to that ball. Looked like it got tipped on the offensive line, or on the defensive line, rather.
Well, if you like symmetry so far, Oakley Gordon's run for 26 yards, and he has passed for 26 yards and two touchdowns. And now Gordon's looking to get another point here as he is going to kick the extra point. Snap is up much better this time. I guess kind of fumbled off the feet, hands of Andrew Gleason, and the kick is blocked.
Tough end of the drive, but you get that 13-0 lead. Take advantage of it. Now Tigers got a big opportunity on defense to try to pull this thing, get a big lead going into the second quarter.
13-0 Tigers, you're listening to high school football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
National Bank of Middlebury is there for you 24/7. Buying a home, sending your kids to college, or starting a new business? They're here to make it happen, helping families and businesses achieve their dreams since 1831. With offices in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Vergennes, or online at nbmvt.com, or on your mobile phone, anytime, anywhere. Bank real, live real. National Bank of Middlebury, member FDIC, equal housing lender, equal opportunity employer.
Now back to Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
And with 40 seconds left to go in this first quarter, it's Middlebury leading Rice by a score of 13-0 in our matinee game here on 92.1 WVTK. Week 7, 6 weeks in the books for the Tigers. The Tigers 6-0. The Rice Creek Knights 1-5 coming into today. And right now, it seems the inability to stop the run is the Achilles heel for the Rice Green Knights. They've only had one offensive possession so far, and they're about to set to return to get their second one started. It's kind of a low kick from Gordon, and it's picked up by the returner on this near sideline. Able to get some space, though. Gets almost to the 40-yard line before he gets dragged down by Doug DiLorenzo on the kick coverage team.
Tiger football brought to you by LeBird Insurance for all your insurance needs, Washington Street in Middlebury, and Pulonato, changing the way you feel about buying a car in South Burlington and Barrie.
And it was Trey Coffin who finished off that last drive. That was his 8th touchdown of the season. He's had 7 on the ground, and that was his first through the air. And so this is going to the running back. He was losing tons of yards, just running backwards and backwards. Terrible loss, a loss of almost 20 yards, about 17 yards for Cousineau.
And that's a great play. This is what Rice has not been able to do, is set the perimeter. Jerry Nemo does. It's a great job. Sees the toss coming. He's able to bounce that out and continues to force Cousineau outside and outside and back further. Then he's able to spring the block, make a tackle. Great play from Nemo, and the exact worst case scenario for the Rice offense.
Went second and about 25 here for Rice, and they are in, they have in the spread. The quarterback's looking over to the sideline, but they're going to let it tick down to the end of the first quarter. At the end of one, it's the Middlebury Tigers leading the Rice Green Knights by a score of 13-0.
McIntyre Services, a family business owned and operated in Middlebury for 72 years. They sell home heating fuel, diesel fuel, and gasoline. One on 213 Exchange Street, and you have the news station, 49 Court Street. Both are in Middlebury, and both are open 24-7. Sunoco is their brand, and they encourage their customers to apply for the Sunoco Rewards Card, which gives you 5 cents a gallon off the pump price of gasoline or diesel. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 72 years.
Addison County Commission Sales is a locally owned and operated livestock auction service. The Wisnowski family has been serving Addison County farmers and surrounding area for over 65 years. Livestock sales are held every Monday and Thursday starting at 3 p.m. Livestock trucking, free herd appraisals, and dairy replacement are also available upon request. Addison County Commission Sales. Visit them on Route 125 in East Middlebury. For more details, go to accscattle.com.
High school football is on 92.1 WVTK.
And it's good the Rice is a passing team because they're going to need it right now. Second and about 25 here for the Rice Green Knights after a huge loss on their first down run. So right now Fitzgerald in the backfield, one wide receiver to the right, three over to the left, the wide side of the field, and he gets into the shotgun. He decides to keep it himself, though, to try to take advantage of space. Does find a little bit of a hole, but is brought down fairly quickly there by a Tiger. That is Chris Greer on the tackle. Third and very long here coming for the Green Knights.
The key for this football game for Middlebury is going to be trying to avoid and force turnovers. This is a Rice team that has forced turnovers, and you need to avoid that if you want to make sure that this lead is big for Middlebury.
And it is Fitzgerald back, and he gets it. He's throwing those right, looking downfield. He's got the possibility of a man open, able to catch it, once he in. We'll see if they give that to him at about the 37. And it was not. I didn't think so. It looked like his foot came out of bounds. It was a nice pickup. But the problem is, when you throw that on that near sideline, not a lot of space.
Now, the thing Bowler just got to do is he's got to give the quarterback, he's got to give Fitzgerald a little room on the edge. Now, obviously, like you said, there's no numbers on this football field, but you normally, as a wide receiver, you want to split that. Bolger was running right down the sideline, which gives Fitzgerald no room to throw the ball behind him, as he did. And it was just a shade behind him. Bolger makes a great play on that, you know, extremely athletic play. Give this quarterback a little bit more room. You're going to have space to get that ball down, get your foot down for a catch.
As a result of that first second down loss, the first down loss, Rice really has to punt here. And Gordon gets it about the 35 of the Tigers, working that sideline, able to come across midfield. Tigers are going to take over for the third time today, but this time on the Rice side of the field at about the Rice 48.
And to go back to that turnover point, the last three games for Rice, they've lost, you know, 54-36 to St. Jay, 54-12 to Hartford, and then a 12-6 loss to Mount Anthony. In that game, there were seven total turnovers. The week before the Mount Anthony game was a 42-20 loss to CVU, and they forced some turnovers in that game, and they just have to get the lead. This is a football team, Rice, that can force turnovers, and if they do that, that's when they have success on both sides of the ball. Middlebury hasn't been turning the ball over a lot this season. If they avoid that, this offense is going to be able to work.
And Gordon under center, he's got several tight ends over on the right side there, but it is Parker Gross carrying the ball up the middle on the fullback carry. Just plunges into the line and gets a nice gain there of about seven.
High School Football 92.1 brought to you by Woodware Fine Furniture, Route 7 South in Middlebury, and Desenbury Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat, 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury, with a new drop-off location at Linda's Apparel in Virginia.
And it's going to be second down and about, well, we'll say four for the Tigers. Gordon under center, two running backs. And again, it goes to Gross. So this time, keeps him, but bounces it to the outside a little bit. He's right about at the first down marker as he gets a group of Knights climbing all over him.
And here's the paradox that has been the Tiger offense. Earlier in the season, we talked about when they went to those two tight end sets, what it did is it brought in the entire defense between the tackle box. So between the tackle and the tackle, there was about nine defenders, about 5 yards downfield on the defensive side of the ball. Right now for Rice, they Middlebury has brought in the two tight ends, but Rice now isn't able to secure the edge. They're crashing inside of that tackle box. Middlebury gets to bounce it outside of that and get big game.
And when you see the fullback bouncing outside, that's kind of interesting with this Tigers offense. Two people on the left for the Tigers, three running backs, and Gordon has it. He hits it out to Ali Abdul-Sayer, getting nice blocks on the right side of the line, weaving and wending his way forward for a gain of about seven or so.
And like you said, Parker Gross, he bounced that out about 3-4 yards downfield is when he bounced out, but there's no exterior presence there for the right screen next to 4-7. That last run, again, you go to the counter. Ali Abdul-Sayer, I would have liked to see him bounce to the outside. He cuts it back in, like we talked about earlier. That's where the rest of the defense is. You run inside, you're going to run into a situation where 3-4 guys are going to be running your tail. Bounce that outside. Maybe the block wasn't there, substitute from this angle. But if we can get to the outside right now for Middlebury, there's a lot of running room, and they're doing that right now.
Tigers second and short here from about the 30 of the Green Knights. Ali in motion from left to the right, but it's Parker Gross taking it, going up the middle. That's going to be enough for a first down for these Tigers. 9:26 left to go in the second quarter. Tigers leading 13-0, but on the move again.
Good play there from Matt Reardon for the right Green Knights defensive end. He forces Oakley Gordon to make the read to give the football inside to Parker Gross, but then does a very athletic play. He forces the read inside, but is able to bounce then inside and make the tackle on Parker Gross and slows that down, which, you know, it was about a second and two, and they do end up getting the first down, but a good play to prevent a long run going deep.
So you don't want to project too much what they've said now. Parker Gross has had some very successful weeks here with Cortland Fisher dinged up and then out, and certainly he did a wonderful job 2 weeks ago where he was player of the game, but Parker getting a fair bit of run here, three carries this quarter for the young fullback. Gordon under center, he's got Trakoff and moving from the right to the left. This time it's Ali Abdul-Sayer going over towards that right side, bouncing off people, running with some power, and then at the end, churning forward into a group of Rice Green Knights, making about 8 or 9 yards on that first down run.
And that's a good run there from Ali Abdul-Sayer, but right at the end, again, he cuts it back inside, and Rice is Dylan Viewers waiting right for him. The big defensive lineman just gives him a nice, solid shot there. So this is a football team that's running that counter well continually. Again, just about every other play, Middlebury has gone to the counter and seen about a 6 to 8 yard gain.
It's second and short here from around the 20 for the Tigers. And this time it's Gordon handing it off to Ali. Again, he gets tripped up really over a defender who had fallen down as Nick Beauchamp was blocking him. And whether or not he got the first down, we'll tell you in a second.
Bo Hopwood there on the tackle, like you said, from the ground. That's the third time in four plays to see Middlebury go to the counter to the right with Ali Abdul-Sayer getting the touch. And that's a typical Dennis Smith. You get something going, and if they can't stop it, might as well keep running it. We had a play my senior season. We had a drive against CVU where we literally just went unbalanced right and ran the option back to the weak side of the offense. And we did it 6-7 times in a row and ended up punching it in for a touchdown. Dennis Smith, if you're not going to stop him, he's going to keep taking it. You give it to him, he's going to take it, and they're doing that on this drive.
And eventually you lull him to sleep, too, is that at a certain point, if you have other plays built out of that same formation, then you run something kind of different going that other direction, especially right now they're set up on the far hash marks. You have all the space to the left side. They keep going to the right. Big opportunity to lull Rice to sleep on that side of the field.
That play-action counter pass could be inevitable right here. You look at the counter play run again and again. The counter pass is what got him 6 points. Wouldn't be surprising to see them go get that counter, make them think they're going to run it the same play they've done the last two plays, and toss it over the top for 6 points.
And it's a timeout called by Rice here. And so with 7:51 left to go in this quarter, Tigers leading 13-0.
Showing your support of all Rice
Tiger football, brought to you by Foster Motors, home of the We Care People on Route 7 in Middlebury, and by Fourth and Goal, everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and diamond, 68 Main Street in Middlebury. Tiger football also brought to you by Mike's Fuels for all your home, business, and agricultural needs. Route 22A in Bridport, and J.P. Carrera and Sons, always ready to mix, and they guarantee a solid finish. Call them at 388-6363.
Mike's Fuels, of course, also our sponsor of the Mike's Fuels Halftime Show. And we'll have plenty to talk about at halftime, including some of the things that happened last night. We don't often get a chance to talk about the weekend's action, Marshall, but it being Saturday, we do have a chance to discuss that. And, of course, J.P. Carrera, the sponsor of our J.P. Carrera Player of the Game. And it's been a wide-ranging group so far this year. It's been fun. All right, the Tigers back on the field here, and it's Oakley taking the ball, this time rolling out to his right, throwing long. He's got a man wide open in the end zone, and he just wasn't able to bring it in. Brady LaRocque was just a couple steps out in front of him, and again, is everybody moving a step slow there, unable to get to it, but boy, he was wide open.
I don't have a crystal ball up here, Bjarke, but that was the counter play action pass that the Tigers brought in for six on the opening drive, and they go right back to it there. You lull them to sleep with those three consecutive counter runs. They expect it again, and Oakley Gordon has two wide receivers. He's got, I believe that was Sawyer Ryan and Brady Rock wide open in the end zone. He just overthrows the man, but they are lulling them to sleep and then bouncing it over the top of the pass.
And it is second down here for the Tigers. Second and 10. Oakley takes the ball. He heads out to Ali Abdul Sader. Where could you get towards that space on the right side, which he's able to do. Cuts it inside his defenders and running hard, Ali is today. Running very physically. He's right about at the sticks. I think he's going to have it.
And again, they go right back to it. The play they run the pass two times, they go back to the counter to the right again, and this continues to be productive. Rice has shown no signs of stopping. If it's not broke, don't fix it. And Dennis Smith, his coaching staff, is not afraid to be, and not necessarily predictable, but just not diverse so much on this play call and this drive. The counter is working. You don't turn away from some of the type of success. And if Rice takes a timeout and still can't stop it, wouldn't be surprised to see it again here on the 6-yard line.
As the Tigers come up to the line of scrimmage, they have Chase Messer out wide to the left, and then they have their three standard running backs. Ali in motion, getting it going on the right side again. Why not, Marshall? And he keeps turning forward. That's a gain of about four on the same run.
No counter there. That's the drive power kick there. So they think they're going to crash down at the tight end position and steal everything inside from the defensive end to the linebacker. And then they're going to give it to Ali Abdul Slater. No pulling guard or tackle. And he's just going to take it to the outside. Gets about 4 yards. Breaks the tackle two at the line of scrimmage to free that one up. But that right side of the offense right now for Middlebury is clicking, having a lot of success against this right team.
So you have this huge football field, and everyone on the field is packed within about a 15 square yard area in the far corner of the field here. Tigers with tons of space to work with on their left side. Oakley Gordon steps back, hands it off, keeps it himself, heading towards the far pylon. He is in. That is the third touchdown Oakley Gordon has been involved in this game. He has two throwing and one running. He went in untouched.
And how about that? Ali Abdul Sader does the heavy lifting, gets him to the three, and Oakley Gordon gets the glory of a touchdown. No, I'm just kidding. This is a great drive. And a great option read there. Does a great job of seeing the defensive end crash inside. Oakley Gordon able to get to the corner, gets to the pylon, and gets six. His offense having a lot of success. Go for two to make it a 21-0 game.
All right. So that's spoken by a former running back. Everyone keep that in mind. All right. Oakley's under center here. He's got people, and they're going for a two-point conversion. They didn't. Strange on the scoreboard. Gordon went down to his right and threw it up and really had no chance of getting anything. I got distracted because it looked like it was 14 on the scoreboard. It was actually 19 there. It's just missing some lights. So it's 19-0 here with 6:46 left to go in this first half. Tigers leading the Green Knights. They have scored on every possession. You're listening to high school football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Houston's Farm Supply of Bridport carries the high-pressure cleaning equipment that gets the job done right. Let them show you the Hotzi hot and cold pressure washers, available in electrical, all voltages, and gas or diesel propane. Houston's Farm Supply is a full-service dealer carrying all parts and accessories, plus a full line of detergents from 5-gallon pails to 55-gallon drums. When it comes to high-power pressure washers, you'll find the best, Hotzi, at Houston's Farm Supply on the Crown Point Road in Bridport.
High school football is on 92.1 WVTK.
It is 19-0 with 6:46 left to go here in this first half. And the Tigers, as wonderful as they've been playing, Marshall, one thing to note, they are 0-3 in the season on two-point conversions. So that is something for everyone to keep in mind as we go forward. The Tigers teeing it up from the 40. It's a short kick, and it's bouncing down through the dirt, getting to about the 30-yard line of the Green Knights, and quickly swamped in and brought down by the Tigers. So no real gain there. The Green Knights coming out, seeing if they can get something moving and get something going with about 7 minutes left to go in this first half.
Tiger football brought to you by Della Motorsports in Plattsburgh, making your buying experience a pleasant one. Della Motorsports in Plattsburgh. And this is going to be an opportunity, a big drive now for Rice. You're down by three scores. You need to get something going. It's an offense that has the capability, just been bogged down by big losses.
And Rice is on their own 24, and they've got Fitzgerald back in the shotgun. And he's going to keep it himself and run it over to the left side. Not a huge hole there, but able to get forward as he accelerated pretty quickly, gained about three on that carry.
is, like we said, this is a running offense with Cousineau that has had a lot of success. Cousineau last week had over 100 yards, or excuse me, had 82 yards in the loss to St. Jay. This is a running attack and a potent offensive attack with Fitzgerald when they can get going, but right now they haven't had much time.
And Fitzgerald gets back, he's rolling out, stepping back, looking long for a man, really trying to throw him open, and unable to. This has been the third time, at least this game, where he had Greg Bulger really wide open, running by himself, and just overthrew it.
Absolutely, I mean, this is the third time that he's overthrew him, the fourth time he's gone deep to Bulger. Bulger's had about six targets in this game, and he's certainly getting the workout, and they're wanting to get Bulger going over the top. The problem is, now you're facing third and eight, rather than if you would go for that underneath pass to bring up a third and short.
And this time, Bulger moves into the slot position, not out on as far out towards this near side as he could be. That might be a good idea. Getting a little closer might make it easier for Fitzgerald. That's showed a lot of touch to get it to him. And Fitzgerald rolling back quickly, getting run over by some Tigers. And it's a sack and a big loss there for the Green Knights. Who has that on defense? Bruce Wright and like River Payne.
And what they're doing there, so what that long pass on second and seven, second and eight does is you make it third and long. A long pass is kind of suited for first and 10 or second and short, where you know you get a second or third down behind you. When it's second and seven, you don't complete something over the top. Now you look at third and seven. Now every route has to be at least 7 to 8 yards. Only one route was within 10 yards on that last pass, play for the Rice Green Knights.
And Rice didn't have it for long. Here comes the punt. They're punting it. Messner's going to take it over on the right side of the field. He has it. Hands it off there. Honschel's got some space on the left side, running, accelerating. He's going to get driven out at about the 30 of Rice. So Tigers with a very short field here to see if they can get on the board for the fourth time.
They score at 6:46. They get it back with 5:20 left here in the first half. And I mean, this has been, what we've seen a lot of in Rice. If you look at their previous games, the offense has not done a great job of slowing down rushing attacks, and today has been no different. Middlebury has had their way on the ground, and now on this punt return, they get it back. They decide to chip it back to about the 38, 39-yard line, but no sign of stopping this Tiger offense, and down 19-0, Rice needs to stop. Otherwise, this game begins to get out of hand, and we look at a second-half deficit that probably is going to be too big to overcome.
They must have said Honschel went out of bounds and stepped on the sideline at some point because he was a full 15 yards ahead of this when they actually knocked him, physically out. And it is Gordon under center, and he has it. And he keeps it himself, rolling back. He's under pressure by two men, able to flip it up towards Cortland Fisher, who was coming across the middle, but it was just, he was under so much duress, he was unable to get to Cortland cleanly. It's going to be second to 10 for the Tigers.
And again, hopefully going into plays, the pass is there, and the men are open downfield, but the offensive line hasn't been doing, a fantastic job with pass protection. That also was a result of Rice just putting their ears back and flying through this offensive line trying to get to the backfield, and when it's a pass, of leaving guys open in the secondary.
And Gordon under center with his three running backs, Nemo coming from the left to the right, and it is pitched out to Nemo, takes the second, he puts it on the ground and fumbles it. He does get able to pick it up and grab it and pull it in before being taken down. That's going to be a loss of about eight on that carry for Jerry Nemo.
And Rice was going to catch a break, but that pass wasn't smoothly done because cornerback JoJo Mbayu had crashed all the way inside the linebacker box to chase after Cortland Fisher. He thought he had Cortland Fisher had the football, and what that did was it opened up the corner, and that was a pitch. If Nemo is able to hang on to that football, there was no cornerback to stop him for the next 15 yards.
And it is going to be long, third and long for the Tigers. And Gordon, he's got wide open there. He got Trey Coffin on the right sideline, going down towards the left sideline. Man goes down in the dirt. His defender did, so he's still working his way towards the left. Ends up going kind of laterally instead of forward at the end. But incredible get there for Trey, driven out at about the 20, I'm going to say. That's going to be my estimate with that.
Looks like 18. Trey Coffin, that's a point. You got to just keep going north. You cannot cut that thing back. Keep going north on the sideline. It's one-on-one, cutting back to the field like we talked about all game. That's where the rest of the defenders are. Get north, and you probably, if you get tackled, probably around the 15 to 10-yard line, still a big gain. And this passing attack continues to be, when one has time, proficient.
Let's say I would estimate about a 25-yard gain on that. And it's Nemo with a huge hole on the right side as he takes the pitch. He's headed towards the pylon. He's going to try to wrestle through his man. Gets driven out about 3 yards from the end zone. Tigers, there's no slowing them down. Just rolling here as we roll towards the end of the first half.
And that's a good job blocking there from Trey Coffin. Does a great job of sealing JoJo Mbayu, the Red Street Knights play side corner. Seals him out. Nemo does a good job cutting inside of that. And after he gets that is the corner. That's the last man on the edge. Rice has nobody to stop Nemo until he gets down at the 3-yard line. This offense, when they want the edge, they're getting it time and time again.
And Gordon getting under center again. And this time there is going to be a timeout called. It's going to be called by Rice. So Rice now, 3:56 left to go in the first half. Middlebury leading by a score of 19-0, but knocking on the door again. And as of right now, Rice doesn't seem to have any answers for how to stop Middlebury. Middlebury has had an incredible time of possession here, but this drive has moved very quickly. Rice hardly holding on to the football at all so far this game.
Yeah, this is just deja vu from the last couple weeks. You put up 36 on St. Jay, but St. Jay's on a football team that certainly is not the carbon copy of the state championship runner-up from last season. Certainly a team that struggled on the defensive side of the ball. But you look at the games they played against these elite football teams right now, Hartford being the big one, that 54-12 game where you can only assume that the second half was a lot of second stringers in there. This looks to be the same type of game. And we go back to the pregame conversation we had. Middlebury hasn't played an elite team, but we talked about they need to do what they're doing right now to the teams that they should be doing it. Hartford puts up a game like this, the best possible scenario for Middlebury is doing the same thing. That's exactly what we're seeing in this first half.
And so the Tigers are their standard double wing set with Gordon under center. They're at about the 4-yard line. And this time he hands it off up the middle to the fullback. We'll get whether that was Gross or Fisher in a second. Piled up right before they cross into... They gave it to him. Corlin Fisher with a 3-4-yard run there for the Tigers.
And that's a big exclamation point on this offensive first half for the Tigers. Now, it's still 3:51 left, and if you're going to the same pace that the first half or the previous possession for Rice was, which lasted all of a minute 20, Middlebury had a chance to get the ball back. But now up 25-0 and the extra point coming. Very good, proficient drive. We saw some big plays that powered it. And this is what we wanted to see, a big first half of opening drive, a lot of success, a lot of offense. We've seen that right now from Middlebury doing exactly what they need to do with the playoffs just 2 weeks away.
And Middlebury, not quite the high-scoring team that they were last year. 25 points here with 4 minutes left to go in the first half. This is really a high watermark for them in terms of efficiency so far this season. And it is Doug DiLorenzo in now to kick the extra point. We've seen him go 1-for-1 so far this season. And the snap is up, and the extra point is good. 26-0, Middlebury Tigers leading the Rice Green Knights. 3:51 left to go in the second quarter. You're listening to High School Football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Celebrating 60 years in business, LaBerge equals insurance. LaBerge Insurance Agency has been helping you find the right insurance. Don't pay too much for the wrong coverage. LaBerge Insurance will get it right. Homeowners, renters, condo, auto, life, commercial, or farm insurance, call LaBerge at 388-2772. LaBerge Insurance Agency, locally owned and conveniently located at 1 Washington Street, Middlebury. A proud sponsor of Tiger Football.
This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And on the 4-yard plunge by Cortland Fisher, the Middlebury Tigers got back on the board. They have scored every possession so far this game. It is 26-0. Middlebury Tigers leading the Rice Green Knights. Doug DiLorenzo out to kick away to those Green Knights. They have the receiver sitting at about their 15-yard line. And the kick is up, and it's a strong one for the junior. And he gets high, and it's taken in about the 10, man advancing up the middle of the field, finding a nice little hole there, and able to push across to about the 26-yard line, where Rice will take over, looking to put some points on the board before halftime.
Tiger Football brought to you by Vermont Field Sports for all your hunting needs and a great selection of new and used guns. Route 7 in Middlebury, and now this is an opportunity. Rice, you haven't proven on the offensive side of the ball that you can move it. You really have to do it now, and this is an opportunity that you're down 26-0. You cannot afford to have another drive that lasts a minute 20 and give the football back to Middlebury, who has proven they can move the ball quickly, even though this is a run-based offense.
Let's point out, Jack Fitzgerald, the quarterback, is a junior. So although you might think Rice doesn't have a lot to play for this year, this is actually a tremendous opportunity here for some real live ball practice for the young man. He's rolling out to the right after taking the snap. He's being pursued. He's got people. He's not pulling the trigger, but eventually he does with a man wide open. Nice first down. A They continue to go. Can they catch him? Can he brought down at the 35? An excellent job by Cameron Trusadel. He caught that ball, was able to turn and accelerate, and ended up gaining about 15 plus another 20, about 35 yards there on that possession.
That's a great play. Camino does a good job coming back to the ball. Fitzgerald scrambled out of the pocket a little prematurely, had the pocket there, but Cousineau does a great job downfield. Seasoned quarterback is out of the pocket, is able to come back to the ball, catch it, break the tackle, and breaks a long game.
And this time it's getting pitched out to receiver on the left side, who breaks one man, gets up a gain of about 4 yards there for actually the pass to Greg Bolger, just finalized scrimmage. 4 yard gain for the sophomore, Greg Bolger.
They continue to target Bolger. He's the big name on this offensive attack as far as outside. Cousineau's been the main rusher. Right now we got JoJo and Bayou in the backfield for the Rice Green Knights, but Greg Bolger's been the guy they've gone to a lot through the air.
And it's Fitzgerald getting the snap, flips it over to him, and it's on the ground. As you say, the running back was in, not getting typically many carries. The snap went, actually the pitch went so high, it went over Andaya's head, and it fell behind him. That's going to be a major loss there for Rice.
And that's, yeah, that's not going to be the fault of the of JoJo Mbaye. That pitch was a little high, and Jack Fitzgerald didn't even look to Mbaye to see where that pitch relationship was. Tails high, and Mbaye almost made that one-handed behind-the-back catch. Instead, that's behind the line, and that's a 10-yard loss and a tough break for this Rice offense that was moving the ball rather effectively with that 25-yard, 35-yard gain.
And so it's Rice is now backed up there at about the 40 of the Tigers, and they're throwing long. Do they have a man? They do have a man open in the middle, but again, that ability to get to Greg Bolger, just not there. Just overthrowing Bolger again, another opportunity missed by the Green Knights. This time he was covered more closely.
Fifth time they tried to go over the top of Greg Bolger, and fifth time they've been unsuccessful. You could argue that might have been their second best opportunity to hit him if he is able to just get over to that ball a little bit. But the coverage was very good on that ball, a little underthrown, which I'd rather see, you know, considering he's been overthrown in the last three times, underthrowing isn't the worst possible scenario, but also on a throwing could lead to an interception. The defender decides to undercut that route.
And Fitzgerald in the shotgun rolling back here on fourth down. And this time he's sacked. He's getting taken down by the gang of Tigers. The ball is stripped out. It's going to be covered up, but what a tremendous loss on that play. That's going to be a 15-yard loss on that fumble and recovery.
And the clock continues to run. About 5 seconds just ran off that play, but that's probably the best-case scenario for Middlebury. Again, the whole drive isn't long. The last score came at 3:51. There's 2:03 left, and Middlebury's got the ball on the 45, 44-yard line headed in. What we're seeing a lot from Fitzgerald is he has a tendency to try to scramble before he needs to. The pocket was there, and what he did was he scrambled to his right, his throwing arm. He is a right-handed quarterback, so throwing to that scrambling side, that arm side. The pocket was there. If he had scrambled to the other way, if he really needed to scramble, there was no defenders on that side. Instead, he runs right into where the defense is waiting for him and results in a loss of about 20 yards, and the fumble gives the Tigers the football with great field position.
And as you point out, and we have time to talk about this because there is a timeout taken by Rice, it's not appearing that he's scrambling either direction as kind of an intentional call going one way or the other. He's dropping back generally anyway, pretty straight back, but then making the decision, as you say, to go one way or the other.
Yeah, and it's frustrating because he does have the pocket. The pocket is there. If he wants to take a step back and set his feet, the pocket is there. It's not as if the pocket is crashing down, but when he goes to scramble, that's when the pocket breaks down because the defender, all they have to do is push their blocker away, and they're right on him. So having a lot of trouble right there with that part of the football game. If he sits in the pocket, he's got time, and he's got receivers open, set his feet, make a good throw downfield.
And I'll have a question. I might have a time for it now. I'll ask you about this here in a few minutes. We'll have some things to talk about at halftime. I'll have a question for you about if you were coaching, what adjustment you might make if you had a quarterback who had a tendency to do that, but seemed to have the ability to throw on the run. All right, and so for the Tigers, it's going to be first down in Rice territory. Gordon under center. And he drops back. He's looking to throw it out to Chase Mesner right about at the sticks as he came with the slant across the middle. That's a quick 10 yards for the Tigers.
That's a tough throw. Hopefully Gordon goes high to Chase Mesner, and really it's dangerous, though. You never want to throw the man who's running a slant route as Mesner was. You never want to throw that one high and make him susceptible to a hit. Mesner does a good job gathering the catch and getting to the ground as quickly as he can to avoid big contact.
And it's first down for the Tigers. And Ali's in motion from left to the right. And this time it's going to be up the middle. The corner of Fisher beats one man, knocks down a second man with a stiff arm. He's being ridden down that far sideline. Huge pickup there by the running back. He's almost in the end zone.
Worst case scenarios continue to rain as the Tigers are able to get about, you know, what is that, 35-yard gain
just
there.
About.
And that's exactly what Rice needed to avoid. If Middlebury, this is not a fast-paced offense as far as big gains go. Don't give up the big gain here with under 2 minutes. That's exactly what they've done.
And the Tigers look like they're sitting at about the 8 here, and it is going to be held on to by Oakley Gordon, who is brought down as he drops back and heads over towards his left. So that's going to be a decent loss, probably about 5 yards for Oakley Gordon.
And the Tigers, that's the first time that we've seen a big loss that was caused by good defensive play from Rice. That's a great job to force everything to the outside and then take away the pitch man as well as the ball carrier for Rice, and that's forced Oakley Gordon down. He can't pitch that to Trey Kaufman as he gets tackled.
Scott Mesner on the left side of wide receiver, 3 running backs. And Gordon comes back, hands it to Ali Abdul-Sater, has a big hole there, and is able to power forward a little bit. Kind of big swing there by Ali as he went around there, though. He kind of took a looping way instead of just putting his foot down.
And again, though, this is a lot of success for the Tiger offense. They take a timeout with 59 seconds left. They continue to pound that right side of the line, and they're having a ton of success. No real plays have been slowed down when they go to the right side. They continue to take advantage of it. And if they can continue to take that advantage and Rice doesn't make any adjustments, this game that's already getting out of hand could become more so. We could be looking at another 54-12 type of game that we saw 2 weeks ago in Hartford.
Well, the question will be whether we see the 12 out there. 59 seconds left to go in this first half, and the score is Middlebury Tigers leading the home Rice Green Knights by a score of 26-0. The Tigers have taken a timeout as it is third down and about 9 for the Tigers. That 9, though, being the end zone. So the Tigers are basically knocking on the door and have 2 plays to do it.
And they also have, I believe, 2 timeouts to get that in if they really want it. So there's the capability. If you don't get it all of it right here, you have a second play and time to stop.
Gordon, that's 1 man out to the right and his 3 running backs. And he has it, and this time he hands it off to Trey Kaufman, going from the right to the left, tries to bounce inside the hole. He's not going to get a lot on that run, though. It's going to be decent. You get a 5-yard gain or so. It's going to be fourth down and about 3.
And that's a good gain. That's basically the exact thing which you want to do. You don't need to get all 9 yards. Just get it so that you can get to the next down, make it an easier fourth down. Like I said, about 4th and 3, 4th and 2, headed in with 32 seconds. The Tigers are going to be able to, one, get it just about the last play of the half, but then at the same time, they're going to be able to get the last score of the half and push this lead to something around 32-33-0.
And Tigers are looking over at the far sideline. Looking, they are going to take another timeout here with 18 seconds left to go in this half.
And it's been a great first half, and this was really a great drive, both execution-wise and then play-calling-wise as far as timeouts, when to take them and when not to. And this is a great drive. You get that long running game from Corlin Fisher up inside on the read option, and then once you get it inside, you take your time getting it into the end zone. Now you have the ball about 2 yards to go, 3 yards to go with 18.9 seconds left. If Rice gets a hold and this is still 26-0, obviously not enough time to make a play and try to put something on the board before halftime.
Tigers have scored every possession of this game, and the Rice Green Knights have scored on none. So Rice continuing some of the defensive futility, but for the Tigers, this has to feel good. Rice has been a team that's been able to put up some points here in the last few weeks, and the Tigers have been pitching a shutout here so far. Tigers coming up to the line. 19 seconds left to go in this first half, leading by a score of 26-0. It is fourth down and goal, however, for about the 3. So if the Tigers are going to score, this is the play to do it. Oakley Gordon under center with 3 running backs in the double wing position and 1 wide receiver off to the right side. Ali going in motion from the right to the left, and it is being kept by Oakley Gordon, I'm sorry, did such a good job faking, he faked me. He walked in totally untouched because he faked out the Green Knights, too. Oakley Gordon with another touchdown this game for the young man.
And that's a good play. You go with the read on last offensive possession inside the red zone, inside the 5-yard line. You went to the triple option look, and you gave it inside to Corlin Fisher. You go back to the exact same play. Oakley Gordon is going to keep it. The last 3 possessions they've gotten inside the 5, they've gone to that play call. And every time Rice has found the way to find the hole on that triple option, Middlebury has, and it has resulted in ends up 3 consecutive touchdowns.
And so DiLorenzo with the extra point. It is up. It is no good. Clanks off the right crossbar. But for the Tigers, everything is good. 14 seconds left to go. 32-0. Tigers ahead of the Green Knights on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Hi, this is John Wallace, graduate gemologist and owner of Autumn Gold in Middlebury, Vermont. Stop in and melt someone's heart. Whether you're looking for fine handcrafted jewelry, a rare gemstone, or an awesome diamond, come in and see what we have to offer. Meet our fun staff of very talented designers and goldsmiths. And remember, we do expert in-house repairs, restorations, and appraisals as well. Autumn Gold, the Earth's most beautiful gifts.
This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Good to meet. All right, so 14 seconds left to go in the first half. Middlebury Tigers leading by a score of 32-0. And looking at the Tigers' schedule, their high number this year was 41, and their next high against Essex was 34. So the Tigers certainly look to get their highest performance of the season in terms of points here going today. And it's kind of a squib kick here right up the front, DiLorenzo, and it's just covered up by one of the VAC men, and really probably here, right? Is just going to play this out to halftime.
You'd have to assume so. Down 32-0, 12.5 seconds left. You kind of air it out and it gets intercepted. Middlebury's got a chance to bring it back. But, you know, you have had some looks over the top. You've just overthrown Greg Bolger on 3-4 separate occasions. You could look to go to Bolger again with 12.5 seconds left. And I think they got one timeout left. So if you were, they'd get, you know, half the field on one chunk of play. But at the same time, you could just sit this one down, call it a half, and try to regroup. They do get the football starting the second half.
And Tigers, with that in mind, they start out with a very spread defense, and it is just a kneel down from Fitzgerald. So going into halftime on this beautiful Saturday afternoon, it is the Middlebury Tigers leading the Rice Green Knights by a score of 32-0. You're listening to High School Football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Change is good, especially if you're not happy with the current situation. Bordon Insurance Agency wants to let you know that they'll be there for you if and when you want to make that change. With local agents that live right here in your community. For home, auto, office, farm, boat, you name it, they can provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of all your insurances. Bordon Insurance, Merchants Road, downtown Middlebury, and at BordonInsurance.com. Bordon Insurance, local people insuring local people.
There's a beautiful furniture store in Middlebury that you have to check out. It's Woodware Fine Furniture. They have dining and living room sets in gorgeous woods like cherry, maple, and oak, chairs, sofas, bedding, and great varieties of all. Or if you don't see it there, just ask Drew and he can probably get it for you. Woodware also provides shipping and delivery. You've probably seen the Woodware truck. It's everywhere. Woodware Fine Furniture. Handmade, woodcrafts, toys, and fine furniture for 30 years. Woodware, Route 7 South, Middlebury.
The A. Johnson Company in Bristol has been a family-owned business since 1906. They supply woodworkers and do-it-yourself remodeling projects with locally and sustainably harvested timber. Visit their retail store and friendly staff on Route 116 in Bristol and see their wide selection of softwood and hardwood lumber, including paneling, flooring, and choose from planed or rough. The A. Johnson Company also sells kiln-dried firewood. Make the A. Johnson Company your one stop for all your lumber needs or call 453-4884. That's 453-4884.
Real trust is having a partner you can count on. National Bank of Middlebury has experienced bankers providing advice, guidance, and support you can trust, and a full range of loans, savings, and online products and services. Find out what having the right partner can do for you. Offices in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Vergennes, or online at mbmvt.com. Bank real. Live real. National Bank of Middlebury.
Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Equal opportunity employer.
This is Tiger Football on Addison County's WVTK. Fort Henry, Bridport, Middlebury. 92.1 WVTK. You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
It's halftime here at South Burlington, where the Middlebury Tigers are taking on the Rice Green Knights here on 92.1 WVTK. And the kind of drum corps is out on the field for the Green Knights. They've got headbands on, and they're playing a nice percussive backdrop for Marshall, who's going to give us a breakdown of the scoring so far in this game. And it's going to take them a minute or two, folks.
It absolutely will. Tigers started off on their opening drive with 7:58 left in the first quarter, just 4:02 into the game. Tony Gordon to Sawyer Ryan connection from 13 yards out. The second consecutive game, the Tigers have opened up scoring with a passing play on that play-action counter pass. That was set up four carries for 33 yards from Trey Coffin. 7-point lead at the extra point went through. Late in the first quarter, 40 seconds left, Oakley Gordon again for the year. This time 13 yards to Trey Kaufman. No good on the extra point. Cuts it to 13-0. To the second quarter we go. Oakley Gordon continues his scoring rampage with a 3-yard touchdown run. Set himself up with 5 carries for 32 yards on that drive. 2-point conversion would be no good. It would be 19-0. With 3:51 left in the second quarter in the first half, Corman Fisher punches in a 1-yard run to make it 26-0. That drive was set up by a 25-yard pass connection from Oakley Gordon to Trey Kaufman, and on top of that, a 15-yard run from Jerry Nemo. Then, with just 14.3 seconds left after a hold on fourth down and a fumble gave the Tigers the football at the 45-yard line of Rice, 14.3 seconds left, Oakley Gordon's fourth touchdown, his second running of the half from 3 yards out, set up by a 35-yard Fisher run, makes it 32-0. Our final score after the extra point was no good. Not final score, our final score at halftime. And the Tigers up 32-0 here at the break.
Well, as you say, it has been a rampage by Gordon. And one thing I'll be really interested to see, to be honest, is whether they bring, how much they bring him out for the second half. You know, in previous years, we saw it in the Austin Robinson regime, at this kind of score, usually at halftime, they would basically shut Austin down. I would say for the Tigers, the Oakley's been playing wonderfully today. I do wonder, though, as you get towards the playoffs, as the Tigers continue to seem to work on different things. I would say in a lot of their setups, they've been pretty diverse today in terms of what they've been doing. I wonder whether you keep Gordon in there for a little while, let him keep working on some stuff, maybe throw in a little more passing to continue working for the playoffs. You don't just shut it down and be nice to the other team. I think you work for the playoffs here. What do you think?
I think they, you know, wouldn't be surprised to see him one more possession. I mean, maybe not the play calling will probably remain the same as far as, you know, if a passing situation comes up, we'll throw the football. I don't think they're going to get to a point where you say, all right, well, we could use some work in practice on passing. Here's a game situation. It's a game, actually. Let's work on some passing opportunities here as well. It's going to just be, you know, run them out for a possession. They've had a lot of success moving the football. Run them out for a possession. See what you can do over the top with any type of play. If it's a first down, you want to throw the ball, throw the football. But if you have as much success in the second half as you had in the first half on that opening drive, now they'll start on defense, but on that opening drive, if they have as much success at that point, I wouldn't be surprised if they can make this thing a 39, 38 nothing game or 38-6 even, you know, call it quits at that point, knowing that there's a lot more to play for than stats and a scoring mark for the season.
And one thing to keep in mind, if you're at home, there exists a thing that has not been an issue this year, but it's been an issue in the past, of what's called running time. When the team gets ahead by, if I remember correctly, it's 35 points.
35.
When a team gets ahead by 35 points, it becomes, you know, coach optional at that point whether or not you want to go into running time. And then if you're ahead by 35 going to the fourth quarter, it becomes mandatory. So that means if the ball, even if it's an incomplete, even if the ball goes out of bounds, any number of things, that clock keeps running. And that's certainly been a savior for some years. I know last year there were some times where Dave and I would, I mean, I joke about it, but we really would get into situations where you're looking at close to 50 to 3 or something, and then we would just be, you know, kind of not making stuff up, but just trying to find something to talk about, and they would look over and be like, thank God for running time, just to spare the people at home from us as much as anything else. So that is something where we'd look at, interesting to see whether the Tigers attempt to get it into that spot too, as they go forward. So you're listening to Mike Fuels Halftime Show, and Mike Fuels is always a sponsor of Tiger Football. Tiger Football is brought to you by Mike's Fuels in Bridport, serving Addison County and parts of Rutland County, and they're always rooting for the Tigers. Mike's Fuels is your complete fuel dealer with a full line of fuels, including propane, off-road and on-road, gasoline, diesel, and fuel oil. Mike's Fuels also offers 24/7 emergency burner service. When it's time for fuel, call them at 758-3835 or 247-9500. Mike's Fuels, Route 22A in Bridport. Marshall, I had a question for you, and it's something that's kind of I wanted to ask you from earlier on, but we didn't quite have time. Be a coach for a minute. Okay, you have a quarterback. He's a junior. He's clearly got talent. He's athletic, but he likes to move too quickly. How much do you say, okay, son, you need to stay in the pocket? Or how much do you start saying, okay, maybe we have somebody who feels comfortable on the run. Let's build some more things where we're bringing all our receivers to one side. We have slants coming from the far side, coming across the inside, and kind of have layered receivers. What do you do? Do you take advantage of his proclivity to do that, or do you try to trade him down?
Well, I think that you can take advantage of it, certainly, and I think they do have a playbook that does that. They do take advantage of his athleticism with option runs and also bootlegs to get into the perimeter. But one thing that I've worked on for him is if you want to step up in the pocket, step up and not step out. And that's the one thing that you see on all levels that is the one problem for a lot of quarterbacks. When they get uncomfortable in the pocket, they tend to step outside of the pocket. They tend to break the pocket pressure, even if there isn't any. And what that results in is that it makes it a lot easier for defenders to get to him, and that's what we've seen today, especially on that big loss and the fumble there on fourth down, was that he scrambles to the right where Jerry Nemo was, and he gets outside of his pocket. Jamie, all he has to do is just say, okay, you don't need to block me anymore. The quarterback's behind me. I just have to turn around and tackle him. What you want to do at that point is step up in the pocket. So if you feel pressure, step up and not step out. So if you step up, the pocket is still behind you, and then those defenders are going to be drawn out. The offensive line is technically going to try to, from the tackle position, is block the guy back. And so when you step out in the pocket, he is blocked back into you as a quarterback. When you step up in the pocket, he's blocked back out of the play. I'd work on that. You know, if you want to scramble, now obviously the pocket's there. Realize that the pocket's there. I think this is just a result of being, you know, a junior, not a senior. A senior expecting next year to be able to sit in that pocket comfortably. But if you're going to scramble, step up in the pocket, because then the defenders are going to be, you can allow the offensive line to push the defenders behind you and not into you. That gives you more time to set and throw. And then also, if you really want to run that much, you step up. That option to run is right there in front of you rather than having to avoid defenders on the perimeter of the defense.
Some wisdom from Coach Hastings there. Well, I want to talk about here on the Mike Sewell's Halftime Show. We're going to step aside for a moment. We'll be back, including talking about last night's action in Vermont High School Football. You're listening to High School Football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
It's the 2015 model closeout at Foster Motors in Middlebury. Choose from 0% up to 72 months or huge discounts and rebates on many of the remaining Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Rams. If you don't see the car, truck, or SUV you want in our inventory, we will special order or find it for you. Check us out at fostermotors.com or call 388-9961. Foster Motors is a proud sponsor of Tiger Football. 0% for 72 months with approved credit. Remember...
There's a beautiful furniture store in Middlebury that you have to check out. It's Woodware Fine Furniture. They have dining and living room sets in gorgeous woods like cherry, maple, and oak. Chairs, sofas, bedding, and great varieties of all. Or if you don't see it there, just ask Drew and he can probably get it for you. Woodware also provides shipping and delivery. You've probably seen the Woodware truck. It's everywhere. Woodware Fine Furniture. Handmade, woodcrafts, toys, and fine furniture for 30 years. Woodware, Route 7 South, Middlebury.
Dilla Motorsports celebrates victory motorcycles with high performance.
Exhilarating experiences every week in the month of October.
Visit Dilla Motorsports to learn more
and get up to a $1,400 rebate on off-road vehicles. Up to $2,000 rebate on victory
and a five-year factory warranty on all remaining in-stock 2015 models with rates as low as 2.99%.
Certain restrictions and exclusions apply. See dealer for details. Always wear a helmet. Never ride under the influence.
Dilla Motorsports. 7 Dilla Drive, Plattsburgh.
Dilla Motorsports.
Houston's Farm Supply of Bridport carries the high-pressure cleaning equipment that gets the job done right. Let them show you the Hotzi hot and cold pressure washers, available in electrical, all voltages, and gas or diesel propane. Houston's Farm Supply is a full-service dealer carrying all parts and accessories, plus a full line of detergents from 5-gallon pails to 55-gallon drums. When it comes to high-power pressure washers, you'll find the best, Hotzi, at Houston's Farm Supply on the Crown Point Road in Bridport.
This is Middlebury Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And it's halftime here at South Burlington with the Rice Green Knights, and the Middlebury Tigers are meeting in week 7 of the high school regular season. I'm sorry, the playoffs are on my mind, though, because in just a couple weeks here, the Tigers will be hosting a first-round playoff game at Doc Collins Field. The Green Knights take the field warming up. They've got a little bit of time till it's halftime, though, so they have a little time to come out here. And thinking about the playoffs, Marshall, there was some action last night in Vermont High School Football and kind of some interesting action. I don't know if you had a chance to see some of the results. I know the life of a young man can be more interesting than the life of a middle-aged man on a Friday night. But first, some of the results, and they also go to their information in different ways here as he pulls out his phone. But the interesting thing actually was the fact that Rutland barely won, escaping with a close victory against St. Albans.
Well, St. Albans is a football team that actually has had a lot of, you know, pretty good games throughout the year. The record doesn't show that they've been a good football team, but certainly when they played Middlebury even, the game was rather, you know, close. Middlebury did have some trouble. That's a big football team in BFA. But also, that's a long drive, and we talked about that a little bit in Middlebury's trip to Brattleboro, was they did have a little trouble with the drive, But, you know, then you look at the Essex-Brattleboro game, and obviously they had a fantastic score, the 34-6 victory. But, you know, Rutland's, you know, a little inconsistency, sure, going all the way up there. But VFA is also a team that whenever they seem to battle up against Rutland, it seems to be a good matchup regardless of, you know, record-wise. And certainly that holds true when Middlebury plays them. So they didn't have as much success as some teams may have assumed, judging by VFA's record.
And really what I was struck by that game, I mean, Rutland really did come with the offense. You expect that from Andrew Kanosh and everybody else involved. But it was the defense. The fact that VFA was able to get as many points on them as they were makes you wonder a little bit about Rice. And then Hartford took care of business on their end. Certainly, and actually somebody in the press box stole my section about the game scores, so I don't have that. There's some interesting things happening. But it's okay. We don't have time for it anyway. Someone helping us out, but it's okay. But certainly they took care of business. One of the interesting things, you mentioned the Essex game in Colchester, and Essex actually against Brattleboro, I mean, Essex actually moved up to, according to our friends at Northeast Sports Network, moved into eighth place last night on the QPR standing. So Essex, although they haven't had a strong year schedule-wise, we talked about the impact of the QPR, and the impact of that is that Essex, they lost to some tough teams, and as a result, they've slid into that eighth spot. Now, that wouldn't be the team facing Middlebury, that would be the team facing the Rutland-Hartford winner, but still, a team that certainly is interesting. Some of those other teams that we're going to have to look at and be on the watch for, certainly along the way. CVU, and for Middlebury next Friday, that's going to be an interesting one to see where CVU ends up. They were actually fourth in the QPR rankings coming into the weekend. Brattleboro had been fifth, did fall. And so St. Albans up there at seventh right now, and actually somewhere in there depending on last night. And Colchester are still hanging around. So a lot to see here as we go forward and continue on. We're going to be back for kickoff here for the second half on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
For just what you need to get your projects done right, shop Martin's True Value Hardware and Radio Shack. Hi, I'm Kathleen Clark. These football games. Oh, what does that mean? The striped guy has his two arms up in the air.
It means it's good for the Tigers. Looks like they're headed for another win. Keep up the winning tradition, Tigers.
For all your fall needs, shop Martin's Hardware in Bristol and Middlebury. Behind every project is a true value.
Addison County Commission Sales is a locally owned and operated livestock auction service. The Wisnowski family has been serving Addison County farmers and surrounding area for over 65 years. Livestock sales are held every Monday and Thursday, starting at 3 p.m. Livestock trucking, free herd appraisals, and dairy replacement are also available upon request. Addison County Commission Sales. Visit them on Route 125 in East Middlebury. For more details, go to accscattle.com.
Now back to Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And as planes come from everywhere in the sky, Marshall, we have a small plane going by slowly overhead and buzzing the field. We have jumbo jets in the sky making their long marks. It's a beautiful afternoon. What has started out as a cold day has turned into a warm afternoon for football. Not at the moment a great day for the home fans, however, as we get set to start the second half. The Middlebury Tigers are leading the Rice Green Knights by a score of 32-0. Some things we're going to be looking for here. How long does Middlebury keep the starters in? What does Rice do to kind of keep working on things, keep moving forward, get some points on the board? And really, how do we get through this game unscathed in every possible way, and when do we go into running time? A lot of interesting kind of side notes here. Doug DiLorenzo set to kick the ball off for the Tigers. And here he goes. The second half has begun. And the kick is high and a strong one. It's going to be picked up at about the 15-yard line and returned towards the near side of the field and get dragged out here at about the 28. Tackle there by Jerry Nemo.
Rice offense has not had a lot of success through the air like we've seen in the past couple weeks, especially since their 230-yard passing performance from Fitzgerald last week and that 54-36 loss to St. J. I would expect to see a little bit more of that. They've missed Greg Bollinger over the top on a couple occasions. Try to reel those in. If they can hit on those, this is an offense that could have cut into this lead and had longer possessions, would have had much more points on the board, obviously, than nothing.
And it is a fumble on the snap back to Fitzgerald, and then tries to toss it off to the left side. Is unable to. He was looking for Cameron Kuzno and is not able to get anything. All things considered, that was about as good a way for that fumble to end up as it could have been for Rice.
That's a tough play. You fumble a snap. What that does is it essentially it ruins the timing of that route, and that's what results in that throw being behind Kuzno.
And to drop back, and he's looking for man on his close sideline, and that is a nice gain there. That was number 5, Joey Hester. Didn't really do with anything after it, just caught it, and then he had Andrew Gleason on his back. That's a 10-yard gain to Hester.
And that's the first play I really liked through the air. You go with the curl route. You're not trying to break Middlebury over the top, get the first and make this drive, start to take some time away, try to get something on the board.
Fitzgerald getting it, running over the left side, decides to keep it, wrapped up very quickly by the defensive line. He's not even really going to get back to his line of scrimmage.
And like we've talked about on multiple occasions, the secondary has been susceptible through the air, especially underneath. If they can get lulled to sleep over the top, expect maybe a little more of that, those slant routes and the underneath patterns to try to get Rice's offense going, not try to break a long play immediately, but make a drive put together and get something on the board.
Second down and about 10 for the Green Knights. Fitzgerald back in the shotgun. He's looking downfield. He's got a man running him open. This could be complete. Unable to catch it. What a missed opportunity. Joey Hester had gotten behind Andrew Gleason. Had an opportunity, a very clean opportunity. It just fell out of his hands.
And literally, it hits him in the hands. He has until his back hits the ground and it pops out. And that's got to be disheartening. That's about the fifth play that Rice has gone over the top. Had a man open and unable to connect, either overthrown, underthrown, or a drop ball. It's a tough break for Rice offense that has had their opportunity, just hasn't capitalized.
And Fitzgerald dropping back to pass again, and this time he's looking for a man coming over, and again, in and out of the hands. This was Greg Bolger. It was a little soft. He was between a couple people, but unable to bring it in.
And that was a great play from Andrew Gleason. One play after getting burnt over the top, Jack Honcho, let me correct myself. One play after Middlebury gives the man open over the top, Jack Honchell comes up, gives a good stick on Bolger, who had the ball in his hands, the second consecutive drop that Rice has suffered, and now Middlebury's going to get the ball back just 1 minute into the second half.
Rice had opportunities, but now they're punting it away, and it's a very short punt. It's going to bounce out of bounds here on this near sideline. My estimate is that they're going to give it at about the 44 or so to the Tigers, maybe actually at about the 50.
That'll be right at the 50-yard line, and that's a tough break. Punt goes for about 8 yards there, 8-yard net gain. And now if you're right, you put together a possession where you have opportunities over the top and you just can't capitalize, that eventually starts to take a toll on you psychologically, where you have opportunities, you just don't capitalize, and you have chances to make a dent in this lead, and you don't do it.
Middlebury scored in every possession of the first half. They come out for their first of the second. Oakley Gordon has it, hands it off to Corlin Fisher, who goes running up the middle, gets stacked up quickly, pretty quickly. That's going to be a gain of maybe one for the fullback.
One thing that's kind of questionable to me here on this Rice offense is you have that success underneath with the curl route there to Hester, and that break gives you a first down, and then your next two passes that you try to go to are both over the top. You miss Hester, who drops it, and then Bolger drops it. Now you have those as completions that just drop footballs, but regardless, underneath seems to be more productive position for them.
Gordon has two wide receivers and three running backs. Debo in motion from the right to the left. He's looking to a wide receiver. Chase Messer with lots of space in the middle of the field, able to pick up a nice first down there as he gets down to about the 35.
And Oakley Gordon's done a fantastic job in the pocket. Great job hitting Messer there on the slant route. And this has been a good, productive passing game. They've used the play action extremely effectively for a couple touchdowns, especially the counter play action. Now those quick slants are hitting two for Messner underneath his second reception.
That was a gain of about 19 for the wide receiver. Gordon, Nemo coming in motion. Gordon hands it off to Trey Coffin, who gets immediately grabbed as he comes around behind the line of scrimmage. And that's going to be no game for the running back. In fact, a loss of maybe one.
That's just a missed block there on the counter option. The defensive end there is able to get through. I believe that was Kevin LaMontagne. And he's able to get through into the backfield, make the stick. And with this passing offense now being productive for the Tigers, what it does is it creates a multifaceted attack that's going to be dangerous to stop. If they can continue to hit these passing plays throughout the rest of this game and into the postseason, a triple threat offense with a passing attack certainly is dangerous.
Tigers now with four wide receivers and one man, Fisher, in the backfield. Gordon still under center, calling out the numbers. And he's got Nemo now going in motion behind him, but it is going to be kept by Gordon as he rolls over to the right side, finds a little bit of a hole, tucks his shoulder, able to plunge forward for a game of about four right outside of the tackle.
That's a good game to pick up what you lost on that last play. Getting out to third and six after you lose about 1 yard on the previous counter, but this is an offense that really hasn't run into many plays that haven't worked for them. Even when you lose a yard, that play was there if the block has been made on the perimeter, and that gives Trey Coffin room to run. This is a football team that continues to take what they want when they want it, and a team that scored in possession on the first half, looking like they can do it here in the second.
Third and six from the 28 of Rice. Gordon under center. Keeps it himself. Looked like he was going to hand it off to the fullback, but then followed the fullback through the hole. Not going to be quite enough for a first down, though. A gain of maybe two.
It's going to be fourth and two, fourth and three, maybe. There's still a position where the Tigers probably will look to go for it here. Punting it would not really give them much benefit. Going for it here, an opportunity to punch in and look to extend this lead to 36-37 nothing. Excuse me, 37-38.
Yeah, there's really no question about it here. There's no reason not to just continue to turn it on the ground. I would say hand off to a fullback would be a prime call here, but we'll see. Two wide receivers certainly for the Tigers, so they could mix it up a little bit. Or it could be a quarterback keeper. Gordon looks like he might have gotten that off a little fast, but hey, able to do it, you can do it. He picks up 5 yards in the most straight line way possible.
And that's a good call. This is an offense that has been rather unpredictable, which is a good thing right now. For the Tiger offense, but you go with a sneak play, something that you haven't run. Obviously, that's not a planned call. You get to the line, you see that no one's over top of the center. You decide to plunge it up the middle. No point running a play that you may not hit if you know you got it over the top.
32-0 with 7:48 left to go in the third quarter. Tigers in the lead and on the move. Gordon's now throwing it out to the wide receiver on the left side. He does that kick complete, but he goes down to his knees in order to bring it in. That was brought in by Nick Coe for his first catch of the night. A gain of about 3, I think.
And a great play there from Nick Coe. The ball's thrown behind him, does a great job on a slam route to pull up short and make sure he goes back to the ball, get his hands on it, and get about a 7-yard gain, bring up 2nd and 3.
That's right. It was about 7 yards, wasn't it? Ed Gordon under center, two wide receivers out there, three running backs. Ed Gordon calls it out. He's got Nemo going from left to right. He's trying back looking for a receiver, but really a lack of communication there. I think Trey thought it was going a different direction than it was. Ball's incomplete for Gordon. It's going to be third down and about 3 for the Tigers.
And that's still another pass play where the man's open. We haven't seen many pass possessions for the Tigers where the guy that they're intended to throw to, the intended receiver, has not been open. The result has just been either good pressure or an overthrown football. This Tiger offense is working effectively through the air.
And so now 3rd and 3, Coffin's in motion. Gordon has the ball, keeping him to himself over that left side, kind of waiting for Coffin to pitch it to him, I think, but he stayed in front of Trey the whole time, and Gordon gets brought down. I do think, it's a little hard to tell, I think it's going to be short of the first down. Hard angle for us to see here, though.
The hesitation there from...
It is first and goal for the Tigers.
The hesitation was a result of just Nick Coe doing a good job blocking his man, but the blocker does a great job. The defender, the corner, doesn't allow Coe to take him one direction, forces Oakley Gordon to slow down and eventually get tackled from behind.
And so Gordon now has it, heading out to Jerry Nemo, accelerating straight up the field, heads over to the left. That's a touchdown for Jerry Nemo.
Great blocking downfield from Nick Bochamp, opens up that hole. He's able to take the defensive lineman downfield about 3-4 yards downfield. So when Nemo hits that hole, it's wide open. You can drive a tractor trailer truck right through that thing, and Nemo does it. Does a great job, gets through the hole, and doesn't run into any traffic until he hits about the 1-yard line. At that point, he's able to run through the defender and get in for 6.
Jerry Nemo had 2 last week. That's 3 of the last 2 games for the young man. And now it's Doug DiLorenzo in for the point after. Tigers leading 38-0, looking to make it 39. And the snap is up, it's held, and it is good. 39-0, the Tigers leading Rice. You're listening to high school football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Desabre Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat is located at 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury. Our dry cleaning department is open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 9 to 3 on Saturday for all your dry cleaning needs. We offer wash, dry, fold, shirt service, bulk grade dry cleaning, wedding gowns, rugs, Uggs, bedding, and alterations. The laundromat's open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. For our customers, there's free Wi-Fi available as well as a TV room. We have single load washers, up to 60-pound washers, and 30-pound to 75-pound dryers. Use our drop-off locations at Linda's Apparel in Vergennes and the Enchanted Closet in Bristol. Desabray on Exchange Street in Middlebury.
This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And the Tigers keep churning along here. 6:27 left to go in the third quarter, leading the Rice Green Knights by a score of 39-0. They're about to kick it off to Rice from their own 40. Doug DiLorenzo ready to knock it down the field here. And there he goes. And there's a little bit of a squibbed kick, whether it was meant to be or not. It's bouncing off the player, and it's going to get covered up with no gain. It's going to be Rice taking the ball over at about their own 35, 33, maybe.
High School Football on 92.1 brought to you by the A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol, Sustainable Timber Harvesting, and SFI, Certified and Monument Farms of Weybridge. Join the movement and support local farms.
Boy, so if you're Rice here, you had some real chances on that last one, and I agree with you that kind of having comebacks and having receivers be a little more set when they catch it might be nice. They had chances, though. Receivers has got some butterfingers there on that last drive. We'll see what Fitzgerald and the gang can do right now. He's got four wide receivers and one setback. Fitzgerald has it, pitches it over to his running back, who is able to break one person, get over the left sideline, but is not really able to make it back to the line of scrimmage. That's going to be a loss of one for JoJo and Bayou.
And certainly you're looking at a 39-0 advantage right now for the Tigers, but there have been a lot of holes in the secondary that could result in a totally different football game if Rice is able to connect on them. Like we said, about five times they've either overthrown, maybe six times they've overthrown or had a deep ball dropped here for the Green Knights. It's an offense that could be potent.
And so Fitzgerald, Troy, again behind the line of scrimmage. You're not going to gain many yards that way. And Middlebury Tigers come up and make it. It's a tackle by Gleason and Kaufman there. Brings down Kevin LaMontagne for no gain.
And LaMontagne gets a reception, but if Fitzgerald has a little bit more patience, maybe a pump fake to LaMontagne that got full in the defensive end, which would have opened up Cousineau for a slant route. Would have been about a 7-8 yard gain.
And Fitzgerald looking for a man. This is a little bit of a comeback. And his man struggling forward, Cameron Cousineau picking up a first down. Nice gain of about 15 on that catch.
And again, when they go to the curl routes, they've had a lot of success, and I'm surprised they haven't gone to it more. It's a great job and a great route from Cousineau. Gets the defender. He's about 5-6 yards off him at the line of scrimmage. He's got about a 2-yard cushion by the time the ball gets to him. Great route, great pass.
And it is going to be kept by Fitzgerald. He's running over the left side looking for some room to run. He is moving forward. Big flag comes in from the man in the backfield, defensive backfield, as Fitzgerald tries to plow forward. He's going to have a gain of about 4, maybe, but we're going to see what that call was.
It could be a hold here on the offense, which would be detrimental to the offense that's had a lot of success. And it's going to be a holding for the Rice Green Knights. That's going to bump them back 10 yards from the spot of the foul. It's going to bring up about a second down and maybe 23 yards.
And right now, Fitzgerald is about 19 attempts, and he's completed 7 of them.
That's correct myself. That's a block in the back, they're calling, not a holding penalty. So that's going to be, you know, still that 10, 15, that's going to be 15-yard gain or loss. And this is tough. Rice has had a lot of instances where they've put together a good drive, and a penalty or a fumble has resulted in losing all the yards they've picked up, and it has killed a lot of drives that could have been successful.
Trips to the right, one to the left, one man, Amayu, in the backfield. And it's Fitzgerald has it, keeping himself as he tries to make some space on the right side, cuts inside one defender, but is only able to make up about 5 of the yards they had lost.
Certainly, like you talked about at the break, you know, try to get an athletic quarterback who likes to scramble, get him out into a running situation. They do that there with a quarterback truck, trying to create something and get back some of the yards they lost. Yards they lost, excuse me.
Fitzgerald. That's okay. I do things all the time, as anyone can attest. Fitzgerald's in the backfield looking over to this near sideline, trying to get the call in. 3 or 4 wide receivers, 1 running back. He's got a man coming open. It's just not pulling the trigger. Now he has him. Nice catch by Cousineau out of the middle there. Nice 20-yard gain there by Cousineau. He had a chance and then got him in a different window and was able to hit him.
That's a good job from Fitzgerald. Like you said, he did wait for him to get into the window he wanted to throw him to. That's a fantastic job. Something we haven't seen a lot of is that patience. So let Cousineau get open, and they're fortunate that Jack Austin would come in and go for the pick, just goes for the ball instead of the false start's going to be called here on Rice. It's a great job, great patience from Fitzgerald. Knows where he, you can see he wanted to throw that ball before he ended up, before he did throw it. Certainly waited for the window to get there. It's a great job, and a good job after you have that block in the back to pick up a first on what was a first about 27, 25 yards.
Well, two steps forward and one step back right now for the Green Knights here. Recliner.
Tiger Football brought to you by Houston Farm Supply and Hardware, proudly started and run by the Houston family of Bridgeport.
And it's Fitzgerald now. That's another one. The wide receiver moved early. Cousineau clearly excited for the prospects of getting some more yards. Bounced forward. Kind of bounced a couple times there. He could not have been any more in front of the line judge on that side, and that is a false start again.
And Cousineau's been the guy they've turned to throughout the season and certainly today to be the name and the face to move this offense with Fitzgerald. Rather typically a guy that's been in the backfield carrying the football. He's been on the outside making the receptions, and as they've targeted Bolger plenty here in the first and second half, and this penalty's going to be waved off, they're continuing to look at Cousineau to be the guy that moves them in here as they have the ball about the 37-yard line.
I really have no idea how they waved that off. He clearly just bounced forward about a yard long before anything happened. It looks like he ended up in front of the football, but maybe it's 39 to nothing. You wave things off. All right, Fitzgerald now, he has three wide receivers to the left, one to the right, and he's looking back, looks for Cousineau once and only. He says, hey, man, go. He's got to point it with the football. Cousineau had a chance. He stepped right in front of Gleason, went up for it, it went off his fingers. Opportunity there, ball hung up, but they still had a chance, and another missed opportunity there for the Green Knights.
Seventh time Rice has gone over the top and has been unsuccessful either by an overthrown or drop. Cousineau does a good job on the stop and go route. He runs about an 8-yard hook, gets the pump fake, and then goes over the top. Does a great job coming back to the ball, just cannot finish the play, and it literally just hits off his fingertips and sails out.
You know, it's funny. I actually wonder whether it was a kind of intentional pump fake or whether Fitzgerald was saying, hey, man, move by moving the ball. Fitzgerald takes it, throws it out to the left side to his running back, unable to pick up anything there for JoJo Mbayu. No gain. It's going to be third and 15 here for Rice.
That's probably a spot where that is a planned pump and go. So they run that route on this side of the field with that corner on Gleason, the curl route, the hook route at about 8 yards, and two times successfully. Now you try to bring that back, you try to suck Gleason in, suck in the safety with the pump fake, then go over the top. They've had some guys open just running seam routes. So you had that pump and go, a little bit more success.
And Fitzgerald looking back, he's going to bring it over to this near sideline, throw it out to a man who's able to put out a stiff arm and move forward for about a gain of maybe four. That was Kevin LaMontagne, who was able to catch that pass, move forward for about 3 or 4 yards.
And a good job there from Andrew Gleason on the tackle. Gets the stiff arm to the face, and that oftentimes can knock you back. A little bit harder stiff arm from LaMontagne would have probably opened up a little bit more space for him, but a good job from Gleason to hang on there, fall down to the knees of LaMontagne, make sure that knees are out, he can't run the ball.
Fourth down and 12 here for Rice, but it needs to go for it. It's 39 to nothing. And Fitzgerald looking downfield. This one's going to be picked off by Honcho out in the middle of the field, really no one there with him to fight with it. Tigers are going to take over at the 15.
And that's what we talked about earlier. When Fitzgerald waited for Cousineau to get into the pocket and get into the throwing window that he wanted to make it, Jack Honcho was a little tentative, and he waited essentially for Cousineau to make the catch. This time he's going to undercut the route. Now, on fourth and 11 there, they ended up losing about 15 yards, by the interception. Had Jack Honcho just gone for and knocked it down, they would have had the ball by the 31. Instead, they had the ball at the 15-yard line.
Hard to keep that in mind, though, when you get excited about the ball in front of yourself.
It is. It's one of those things we got to take a step back and think about what type of situation we're in, what the down and distances, and where the ball is headed if you were to catch it.
And so for the Tigers, they're coming out. They have they don't have any wide receivers. They have three running backs in the backfield, and they have Ali Abdul-Sader carrying it up the middle there, getting back the line of scrimmage, maybe a little bit past. We have Andrew Gleason now in the game for Oakley Gordon.
Also checking in here for the Tigers, Spencer Carpenter at the halfback position up front. Jordan Bryan checks in at the left tackle spot. And from this angle, it looks like those are all these substitutions that the Tigers have made, but certainly beginning to go to the backup scenario. Bring in the reserves in a game that's been in hand now for about the last 10, 15 minutes, a chance to start putting this thing on ice with your backup team.
One thing that's interesting, we'll talk about in a second here, and it's a handoff up the middle to Spencer Carpenter is going forward. He's really just fighting through some defensive linemen, gained him maybe about two. The Tigers, unlike previous years, actually don't have that many running backs. They all get a chance to play. They all get in there, but they all get used. So right now, this is the running back depth that we're sitting on the team right now.
Absolutely, and that's the good news because you know that in the fourth quarter, if someone were to go down, that everyone's used to playing, but then at the same time, the bad part of that is, you know, you don't have a capability to just pull to the depth of this team and get some reserves in to save the legs of your starters.
Gleason under center with three running backs, and he calls for it. He takes it, hands it off to Leandro Sanders, heads over to the right side, big gaping hole, comes back to the inside, shooting past one man, then another. Great gain there, gain of about 14 yards.
That's a good job there from River Payne, who's checking in now at the left guard position, as we see Joe Langevin, Nate Warren also check in for the Tiger offensive line. But River Payne does a great job stealing the corner for Leandro Sanders to run through and see open up a hole for this running game that on that counter attack has been extremely dynamic all day, and that continues here on that drive.
And for the Tigers, time's ticking along. 1:12 left to go in the third quarter, leading by 39-0. It is 1st and 10. They are set up at about the 32 or so. Gleason back hands it to Jerry Nemo, who turns the corner and cuts upfield. And he's still running with people all over him. He refuses to go down. That's a 7-yard gain for the Tasmanian Devil.
Tiger Football brought to you by Bordon Insurance in Middlebury, home with Coop Chicks for all of your insurance needs. And I love the reference, Jerry Nemo. It's funny how he runs because a lot of backs, when they get it, they go through the hole with one arm, you know, one hand on the ball, but the ball tucked up right about the shoulder pad. And Jerry Nemo, even if he's in space, unless he's trying to pull away from someone, always has two hands on the football. Make sure he's not losing the football here. Now, certainly in a 39-0 game, that's not a big deal, but in a tight game, that type of thing, often overlooked, but extremely essential.
Andrew Gleason under center here. Hitting off the ball is on the ground. It's given over the Green Knights. They went to hand it off. Looks like it was supposed to go to Trey Coffin, and it's put on the ground. Rice is going to take over at the Middlebury 36.
And that can often be a result of the fact that you got a backup quarterback in, and certainly Andrew Gleason a big part of the defense, but when you're not getting those first team reps with Trey Coffman every day in practice, that type of relationship when it comes to those drives inside, those handoffs inside, can often be a little shaky, not as strong as you'd like them to be. And that's what basically what we saw in that last play.
Big psychological moment here for Rice. They're taking it over 1st and 10 on the Middlebury 36. If they can't make anything happen here, boy, they're going to look at themselves and go, what are we doing right now?
Checking in here for the Tiger defense, Morgan Schustis and Maverick Payne on the front line will be checking as well as River Payne, who we've actually seen quite a bit of in the secondary and defensive end position throughout the year. He's checked in as well at defensive end for the Tigers, and Spencer Carpenter, up front as well, making his check to the defensive side of the ball.
So don't forget, next weekend, although it looks on some schedules, though it's going to be Saturday afternoon, our last regular season game of the year is going to be on Friday night at 7 o'clock. Pre-game starts at 6:30. We're going to travel up to Hinesburg, and Marshall's going to make the long travel to Hinesburg as the Middlebury Tigers look to finish the season 8-0 against the Redhawks of CVU, who have had a pretty good year, a new coach, a new offensive system, and it's one that seems to be working pretty well for them. It'll be an interesting end to the regular season. And here we go. We've got Fitzgerald looking to make something happen here. He gets the snap. He's looking downfield, and he's about to be taken down by a Tiger. He's all wrapped up and hopping around. That's Carpenter. That's who else is in there on that. Sacked by Wyatt LaBird, Spencer Carpenter.
Looked like Doug DiLorenzo in there as well on the corner.
Doug DiLorenzo in there as well. So lots of Tigers getting involved here, and a big loss there for the Green Knights. And that's the end of the third quarter. It's the Middlebury Tigers leading the Wrights Green Knights by a score of 39-0. You're listening to High School Football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
That's right, folks. It's the most wonderful time of the year, hunting season. This is Paul from Vermont Field Sports, where you'll find everything you need for a successful season. We are proud to carry Browning's full line of hunting, shooting, and outdoor products. If you're looking for the very best in over and under, auto loading, and pump action shotguns, Browning has the gun for you. And our staff has the experience to help you choose. Check out Browning accessories like cases, shooting bags, knives, lights, and outdoor clothing. Vermont Field Sports, located Route 7 South in Middlebury, or visit us on Facebook at VT Field Sports.
You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And we're going into the fourth quarter here. It should be running time here from South Burlington. Middlebury Tigers all over the Green Knights of Rice. And so for Rice here, chances, you know, a chance to try to put something back on the board, and then everything just kind of fell apart, really unable to get confident there, and a loss of about 7. So we're looking at a 2nd and 17 for Rice. Fitzgerald still in the game, but we do see some people, I don't know if there's a potential person warming up here on this near sideline. With a junior, I don't know if I would do that. I'd say keep him in there and just let him keep playing. All right, Fitzgerald, he's going to toss it back. Man, it's the halfback option pass looking far downfield. Rams up, and it's an interception by the Middlebury Tigers. Jack Hodgson, his second interception of the game. It was, they got hung up in the air, and really it looked like number 25, that would be Greg Bolger, had the best chance to get it. Both of them were coming down. Hodgson, the basketball player for Middlebury, able to rip it out of his hands. And so for the Knights, nothing coming out of that drive.
That's certainly a great play from Hodgson. Pinpoints the ball, and like you said, it was in the hands of Bolger, but he does a fantastic job of ripping it away from him and pulling that in for the interception, his second of the game. And going back to the quarterback warming up on the sideline, that's Trey Deemer, the freshman quarterback for Rice. So like you said, Cuba Jr. will certainly get freshmen some looks, especially sure. For Rice, who doesn't have a JV program, doesn't get a lot of looks for the backups on the football.
And well, judging by the running style, that's Jerry Devo cutting up the left side of the field and getting way out. Great gain there of about 20 yards for the young man.
And Nemo continues to add to that 11 yard per carry average. And like I said, part of that's due to the fact that he isn't getting the ball an exorbitant amount of times, but he is still doing a fantastic job when he does touch the ball, because these are long runs. An 11 yard average certainly mandates the fact that every time he touches the ball, he's breaking long runs and having a lot of success. And he's a guy that come postseason, I think, is going to be the X factor for this offense. If he gets going, this offense is going to have a lot of success.
On 7 rushes tonight, he has 1 of 15 and 1 of 20. Certainly makes things happen. And it's a hand up off the middle here as Gleason hands it off. The runner able to pick up, maybe gets back to the line of scrimmage there. Looks like that was Desiree.
And this is an offense, like you said, that with all these options in the backfield, without, you know, not having two backs that essentially just take all the carries, having multiple guys to swap in, he's having people like Jerry Nemo and even Kyle Desiree that you know you can plug in and that can get you some yards is extremely effective, not only in blowouts, but also in close games. And if someone were to go down, everyone's been getting looks on the offensive side of the ball with the first team.
Gleason under center with 3 running backs here, and it's a handoff right up the middle. And that is Kaufman plunging forward, gaining about 6 on that carry. Nothing fancy there, just going between some holes.
Tiger Football brought to you by Addison County Commission Sales, Addison County's premier destination for Vermont livestock, and by McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 70 years.
Tigers looking over the sideline, subbing liberally. Here comes Hodgson in for Trey Kaufman. Hodgson, who missed a game earlier this year with a hip flexor issue, clearly looking to get him in a little bit on offense. After 2 interceptions, why not? Gleason under center. He's got Desiree in motion from the left to the right, and he hands it up the middle. Spencer Carpenter is knocking off some tacklers there, rushing forward. That's going to be a first down for the Tigers. Gain of about 7 for Spencer.
And Spencer Carpenter, the junior, is essentially a carbon copy of what Cortland Fisher and what Parker Gross bring to the table. Cortland Fisher coming at 5'7", Parker Gross at 5'9". You get a little bit of a size advantage with Spencer Carpenter at 5'10", 190, but he runs the exact same way. These guys, this entire fullback and core, if you get a hand on them, that doesn't mean you're bringing them down. You can't tackle these guys with arm tackles. You need to have multiple guys, and that was shown right there. Spencer Carpenter bolts through an arm tackle, gets about 5-6 yards.
Carpenter, who had ran for 110 yards last year at spot duty, and Gleason has the ball, hands it off to Carpenter again, comes over his near side, gets taken down pretty quickly, though, by the defensive line. Not much of a hole opened up on this near side, and he gains about 2.
And he runs the ball very similar to a halfback, and then when he sees contact, he doesn't shy away from it, but he's also not afraid to try to put a little wiggle to the step and get a little extra, and that results in that 5-yard gain on that last play. And he does a lot. He combines the power of the fullback that they have in Cortland Fisher and Parker Gross, but has a little bit more speed, hits the ball with a little bit more of a reckless abandon, a little bit more fidget to his step to try to break tackles, also with a juke outside of just running over people.
And in this quarter, he has doubled his number of attempts this season. And he got motion on the Tigers. Too many people moved at once as they got set to get into that. And the clock is not moving. I thought even under penalties, I thought they kept moving it.
It does normally.
Huh. Interesting. All right, so they're going to be backing it up here. So the Tigers are going to be looking at 2nd down and about
10, maybe 11. He told me this is an offense that has shown, especially in today's game, that 11 yard, you know, need for 11 yards has not been the biggest return for them. They can pick up 11 yards when they need it.
And there's Gleason under center. He's got Desiree motion from the left to the right. And he drops back, hands it off to Hostel, finding a little bit hole on that right side, waiting off people. There's a spin move all over. He's got about six defenders on him. He gains about 4 yards, a hard-earned 4 yards there for Jack Hostel.
That's a good run from Jack Hostel. Like you said, he does make that hard, and a good spin move gives him an extra yard or two there at the end. Now you're looking at a third and six, but certainly an offense that, like we said, has the capability to pick that up. Maybe a counter look here. There's some of the play that they've used a lot of and had a lot of success with. Potentially going back to it wouldn't be a shock for us right here.
There's been 10 different ball carriers for the Tigers tonight. 6:50 left to go in the game. The time is ticking down for Rice. The score is 39-0. Middlebury. Police is under center. Two tight ends standing up. Three wide receivers. He's got Hotchel in motion. He pitches it to Hotchel towards the left side. Hotchel turns the corner. Gets driven out after a gain of about three there.
And they go to the top sweep, and for the first time, Rice has been able to get a little perimeter presence, and that slows down this Tiger offense. And so it's going to be the first time outside of the fumble on the last possession that the Tigers are unable to get the first down as a result of good Rice defense.
Doug DiLorenzo is in to punt it away. They've got, looks like that's Fitzgerald waiting to return it from about the 20. And I'm not sure, well, I guess why not. I'm not sure I put my quarterback in at this juncture, but it's week 7, I guess. And DiLorenzo's calling for it, waiting for it. Very low. Don't put your knee on the ground, Doug. Oh, and it bounces off a Rice play, and it's coming over towards us near sideline, and it's covered up by a Green Knight. We think we'll see who actually ended up with it. Well, the Tigers are showing you that it will be right from that spot.
Well, it'll be Rice football going in, and like I said, they didn't stop the clock. A little questionable there at 39-0. Clock should be running, but a situation like this, the block finds the right thought process for Rice, trying to scoop and score there rather than try to just fall on top of it, try to get something going.
Yep. Yes, yep. And there's the running time, so there you go. A little bit of inconsistency here. It's certainly not home cooking. You think they're not trying to hold them stuff. They're just making, you know, your muscle memory kind of gets in your way here. All right, and so this is not Fitzgerald. This is the freshman quarterback in. Throws it out towards that far sideline. Caught by Fitzgerald, actually, who's in playing wide receiver. He's going to lose about one on that one.
And so this is the thing. You bring in the freshman quarterback, so they can say, all right, let's bring our junior starting quarterback to the wide receiver position. Try to get the reps, though, for a freshman on a team that doesn't really have the numbers to field the JV squad when you're going pretty deep with the varsity team week in and week out. Try to make something here in the last 5 minutes of this football game.
I did not realize they didn't have a JV squad.
I was thinking
a little tough to develop. And so there he is, and that's Trey Deamer in, and Deamer gets it in the shotgun. He's looking downfield, batted down right in his face. Worked there by... Let's see, we pick up the number. That was Big Dawson McGrath, number 52 for the Middlebury Tigers. Big Diesel there in the middle, knocking it down. Great to see him in there doing work. All 6'3", 300 pounds of the young man. Nice work there on the defensive line. And so now it is going to be third and about 10. And Deamer's calling for it. He's looking over towards the sideline here. 4:16 left to go. Tigers 39, Rice nothing. Deamer throwing it over in the backfield. Running back drops and puts it on the ground. Now he's trying to cut over to the left. And they're going to call it an incomplete pass, which is kind of interesting there.
Now, that should have been a fumble. If that was a backwards pass, like you know it, but I'll go to correct myself. They do have a JV program, but it's still a rep in a varsity opportunity. It is.
Sure.
That cannot be matched. You know, you're getting, especially against the, you know, it's number two, you know, number
Absolutely.
One, number two team in the state, two-time reigning state champion. Getting a look against this type of football team certainly doesn't hurt a freshman quarterback trying to get as many, you know, development opportunities as possible.
And so Deamer has one running back. He's behind him and four wide receivers. And he gets it, drops back, looking downfield, throws it. He's going to be intercepted there on the far sideline. Looks like that's Andrew Gleason cutting over towards the left. He's trying to evade men. He gets out laterally and ends up getting taken down at the 45 of the Tigers. So the Tigers have the ball again.
And that's a good thought process from Deamer. You got the man running the swing route on the outside. The problem is just
throws it just short. He needs to try to extend that ball a little bit more so that the defense, the secondary, Andrew Gleason, can't just sit in the spot he's in and make the catch. Try to extend that ball down the line a little bit further downfield. Allow maybe that was Cousin or Fitzgerald to run underneath that rather than have to come back to the football leading to an interception.
And we've got a man being tended to on the ground here as the trainer comes out and looks at him, and the other players have taken a knee. Tigers look like they're going to head over to the sideline here. And not quite towards the sideline. They're just getting some water here. We'll see whether it's a certainly a lower body injury. So for the Tigers, certainly rolling on to 7-0 here, rolling on to 29 straight victories, looking into making a solid 30 next week when we go up to CVU and play the Green Knights. Certainly some other games next
Red
week. It's been a long afternoon of saying Green Knights. That's right, going up to play the Red Hawks of CVU. And so CVU, kind of an interesting team as we take this opportunity to talk about it. CVU, you know, Marshall, a team that CVU that really has kind of underperformed generally these last few years. You're talking about one of the two largest high schools in the state, along with Essex, and yet never seen it, you know, dominate so many sports. I mean, just talk to their soccer players. It's an amazing place to play sports. But really haven't been that strong. But this year, coming into this weekend, 4-2. So certainly an interesting team there for the Tigers to take on.
Now I'll stop you there because this is a story we've heard a lot of, though, in CVU, is constantly they're coming in at 4-2, but then come playoff time, they just never seem to get it done. But a new coaching staff, a new type of mantra in CDU could be leading to different things come playoff.
And as Gleason hands it off to Desmond, he gets a hole on the right side. He's plowing forward. It's a nice gain by Kyle. He's going to be right about the six. I think a little bit short. We'll see what they give him. They gave him about nine there for Kyle Desmond. 2:56 left to go.
A strong run from Desmond. He gets to the edge and then running hard from there. He sees some contact coming, puts the shoulder down, tries to lower the boom as much as he can, and does get a great 9-yard carry there on first down. Tiger football brought to you by your locally owned credit union, One Credit Union, Green Street, and Regents, and by Martin's Hardware of Bristol Middlebury, your true value hardware store.
And for the Tigers, 2:30 left to go. It's going to be second and about one here. They've just crossed over to the right side of the field. And it is Carpenter just bashing through people. Nothing fancy about that. Just putting his head down. 5-yard gain for Spencer Carpenter straight up the middle.
And this is a chance right now for Middlebury where you look at, we're in the prime, you know, the stretch run of this season. But you look forward. Having a guy like Spencer Carpenter, a guy you can build around for your offense production, and you're going to lose everyone except Trey Coffin in the backfield. Having those two guys come back next season, certainly a great thing. And we're seeing a lot of good runs here from Spencer Carpenter, showing he has that capability to be the go-to fullback that Middlebury has had the last, you know, five, six seasons.
That's a good point, especially Gross and Fisher being seniors for sure. And so here we go, the handoff over on the left side as the ball carrier turns forward. Now Tigers are just picking up yardage in chunks with nothing fancy about it. Carpenter with another 7-yard carry.
And the difference here with Carpenter is if you have Fisher there in the backfield or Parker Gross, their tendency is to just run right through guys. And Spencer Carpenter certainly isn't, you know, excluded from that lift. But there he sees some room to the edge, puts his foot in the deck, foot in the ground, and steps to the outside and actually gets himself about another 2-3 yards that he probably wouldn't have picked up as he tried to run through a defender instead of going outside.
And so as the Middlebury Tigers line up here as the time is ticking down, pretty remarkable situation. Second time in 3 weeks they will have pitched a shutout. And it's Andrew Gleason in the victory formation. He takes a knee for the Tigers, and time's just ticking away. 53, 52, 51. And that's going to end up being the last result. They'll have one more play to get in here as it is third down. They're going to have to kneel one more time. And they're looking over towards the sideline. Nothing to do but sideways. Rice fans are starting to get up and head off, but this is their last home game of the year. Won't expect the fans to give the team a rousing ovation no matter the schedule results. But so far, it is going to be 1-6. A tough year for Rice, certainly moving up to Division 1.
And that's it. That will be the end of the game. So Middlebury Tigers moving on to 7-0. That's 29 straight for the Tigers. And for the Rice Green Knights, certainly not what they wanted here on a beautiful afternoon in South Burlington. You've just been listening to the Middlebury Tigers take on the Green Knights. The Tigers have beat them by a score of 39-0. Stick around for our post game and the J.P. Carrera player of the game. It's high school football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Hi, this is John Wallace, graduate gemologist and owner of Autumn Gold in Middlebury, Vermont. Stop in and melt someone's heart. Whether you're looking for fine handcrafted jewelry, a rare gemstone, or an awesome diamond, come in and see what we have to offer. Meet our fun staff of very talented designers and goldsmiths. And remember, we do expert in-house repairs, restorations, and appraisals as well. Autumn Gold, the Earth's most beautiful gifts.
You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1. WVTK.
A great way to start off your day is with Monument Farms hot chocolate. Just pop their signature chocolate milk in the microwave and you have instant delicious hot chocolate. Great for the kids before they head outdoors and to school. You can find all Monument Farms local products in many area stores. And if you live nearby, please stop into their popular dairy store Mondays through Fridays. Monument Farms, landmark quality from the heart of Vermont in Weybridge.
McIntyre Services, a family business owned and operated in Middlebury for 72 years. They sell home heating fuel, diesel fuel, and gasoline. One on 213 Exchange Street, and you have the news station, 49 Court Street. Both are in Middlebury, and both are open 24-7. Sunoco is their brand, and they encourage their customers to apply for the Sunoco Rewards Card, which gives you 5 cents a gallon off the pump price of gasoline or diesel. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 72 years.
The A. Johnson Company in Bristol has been a family-owned business since 1906. They supply woodworkers and do-it-yourself remodeling projects with locally and sustainably harvested timber. Visit their retail store and friendly staff on Route 116 in Bristol and see their wide selection of softwood and hardwood lumber, including paneling, flooring, and choose from planed or rough. The A. Johnson Company also sells kiln-dried firewood. Make the A. Johnson Company your one stop for all your lumber needs or call 453-4884. That's 453-4884.
How many times have you really felt good about the financial institution you deal with? The people who use all the varied services of One Credit Union on Green Street in Vergennes do. It might be because One Credit Union is known for their unmatched personal service. This service is provided by people you like to work with, not by people you have to work with. Low-fee banking services provided by people you like. It all adds up to One Credit Union. If your bank doesn't add up to that, it's time for a change. One Credit Union, Green Street, Vergennes. One Credit Union, federally insured by the NCUA. Celebrating 60 years in business, LaBerge equals insurance. LaBerge Insurance Agency has been helping you find the right insurance. Don't pay too much for the wrong coverage. LaBerge Insurance will get it right. Homeowners, renters, condo, auto, life, commercial, or farm insurance, call LaBerge at 388-2772. LaBerge Insurance Agency, locally owned and conveniently located at 1 Washington Street, Middlebury. A proud sponsor of Tiger Football.
The MUHS Tigers play here. WVTK, Port Henry, Vergennes, Middlebury, 92.1. WVTK. This is where the Middlebury Tigers play. 92.1. WVTK.
Welcome back to Rice Memorial High School here in South Burlington. The Tigers victorious by a final score of 39-0. Their 7th win of the season. They improved to 7-0. 7-0 in state, the only team undefeated overall in the state of Vermont. Coming in right now is the number 2 seed as the playoffs approach. We'll give you our scoring recap before the J.P. Carrera player of the game. The Tigers kicked it off just 402 on the opening drive of the football game as Oakley Gordon connected to Sawyer Ryan for a 13-yard score. That was set up by 33 yards from Trey Kaufman. It was 7-0. 40 seconds left in the first quarter, and Gordon again, 13 yards out, this time to Kaufman, makes it 13-0. Gordon, his third score of the first half, was a 3-yard run, increasing the lead to 19-0 as he set up the own score with 32 yards on the ground. Corlin Fisher kept put the scoring to 26-0 with a 1-yard touchdown run after a 25-yard pass from Oakley Gordon to Trey Kaufman put them inside the red zone. The final score of the first half would come in the 14.3 second mark as Oakley Gordon, his fourth score of the half from 3 yards out, set up by a 25-yard run from Fisher after the Tigers were able to hold on fourth and long inside their own territory, force a fumble and get the ball at the Rice 45-yard line. The scoring would essentially disappear in the second half, but it would be for the results of the blowout. A 6-yard touchdown run from Jerry Nemo with 6:27 left in the third quarter would cap off the scoring at 39-0, set up by a 19-yard reception from Chase Messner and 26-yard passing from Oakley Gordon. And that's a perfect segue into our J.P. Carrera player of the game with the R.T. Sears.
All right, and our J.P. Carrera player of the game is none other than Oakley Gordon, cornerback and safety for the Tigers, and certainly a guy who could have been up here before. You've had some great games, and some, you know, obviously the offense always has to go through you, so that's a lot of responsibility. But today, just a real game that you affected in so many ways. You know, you have two throwing touchdowns, you have two rushing touchdowns, but beyond that, just plays where it looked like you kept it a little by yourself. A lot of space to run today on the outside today, would you say?
Yeah, they were packed in. There was a lot of blitzing up front with the two middle backers, so, you know, seal down and run outside the tackles.
Now, I have to say, one thing, a bad day for you, you didn't have an interception. One thing we were talking about, it seems like every game you're bringing in one or two interceptions. And before we get to that, I just want to kind of ask you about that, because Marshall and I talked about it, because this is kind of a chance for you to talk to you about your season, because you've had such a great season. How do you account for so many interceptions coming your way?
I guess it's just being in the right spot at the right time. You know, knowing the coverage where I need to be, you know, making the read and just being in the right spot.
Now, and thinking of that, you know, very often, you know, Tigers quarterbacks also play safety or play defensive back. And that one thing has to do with build, right? You tend to be faster guys. You tend to be kind of lean guys. But do you feel like that helps you play on both sides of the ball? Do you see each position from the other position, if that question makes sense?
Yeah, there's a lot of connection between the two. You know, knowing where to see the weakness in the coverages, and then that corresponding to being safety and knowing where the weakness is, and just making sure that, you know, you're in the right spot at the right time.
So the last few weeks you have not played the toughest teams, but you've handled them pretty well. I mean, minus for a little blip against Essex here and there, you really handled your business all season long, but especially the last few weeks against these teams. You know, how do you think about that going forward? Has it been good to face those teams? What'd you get out of that?
I mean, it's a little bit of a confidence boost. But, you know, in the back of our minds, we just got to keep playing our game. You know, every week is what Coach has been talking about. It's just been 1-0. That's the only goal, is 1-0 each week. And we're staying focused on that and, you know, just playing our game.
So 7-0 coming into tonight, and one more regular season game to go, and final tilt next Friday against CVU up in Hinesburg. And what are you going to say as a natural team leader and as a quarterback? A lot falls on you, I imagine, to set a tone. What's your tone going to be going into next Friday?
You got to come into the attitude of, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You always got to be prepared, whether or not their record shows it or whoever we're playing. We got to go in knowing that, you know, they can step up and they can play their best game of the season. We got targets on our back, you know, the whole year. And we've been doing a great job and just playing one game at a time. So this next one's the same way.
All right, next question that we can't have just good team members speak. Just a question about you as a person. Throw a nice pass for a touchdown or run a rugged run for a touchdown? Which would you rather do?
That's a good question. I would say run.
A nice run?
I would say run, yeah.
What makes that fun?
It's more about just you. It's you in that moment, and even with the pass, it's the same way, but I don't know.
Something physical about really, really playing football out there. Well, today you got to do both, and both things very well. Two throwing touchdowns, two rushing touchdowns, and really just making everything work out there. And truly being the straw that stirs the drink. So Oakley Gordon, our J.P. Carrera player of the game, go enjoy it with your teammates, my friend. Nice job.
Thank you.
And we'll be back with a little bit more overtime here. It's the postgame show on 92.1 WVTK.
It's the 2015 model closeout at Foster Motors in Middlebury. Choose from 0% up to 72 months or huge discounts and rebates on many of the remaining Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Rams. If you don't see the car, truck, or SUV you want in our inventory, we will special order or find it for you. Check us out at fostermotors.com or call 388-9961. Foster Motors is a proud sponsor of Tiger Football. 0% for 72 months with approved credit. Remember.
Look under your feet. That's concrete. And whether it's at home, on the farm, or in the workplace, concrete makes up foundations, sidewalks, barnyards. There are lots of uses for concrete in Addison County, but there's only one place to get it. J.P. Carrera & Sons. Their state-of-the-art plant, modern fleet of red, white, and blue trucks, and experienced drivers ensure the quality and efficient delivery of your concrete, crushed gravel, wash sand, and stone. Route 116 Middlebury, 388-6361. J.P. Carrera, the name in concrete.
Hi, this is Mike McGrath from Mike's Auto. Here's just a few things we do. Brakes, shocks, struts, wheel bearings, mufflers, tune-ups, oil changes, head gaskets, engine work. We diagnose check engine lights, ABS lights, airbag lights, TPMS lights. We do Vermont State inspections, belts, hoses, radiators, oil undercoating, front end alignments. What we don't do is Johnson rods, muffler bearings, or flux capacitors because they don't exist. So if your car skips, grinds, wanders, or sputters, give us a call. 388-4138 in Middlebury, 453-5563 in New Haven, or just hit us on the web at mikesautomid.com. Remember, if we can't fix it, it ain't broke. And like us on Facebook.
My grandfather once said, people who care build something that people care about. It's not an easy process, let me tell you. But if you take it one brick at a time, the result can be outstanding. Hey, everybody, it's Alan Buzz Busby from Poulin Auto Sales and Service. And my grandfather was right. You've got to build something that people care about, or it's not even worth it. Over the past year, we've gone through a lot of changes. We've restructured. We're listening to you. We're working with folks, making good deals, good, honest deals, changing lives. It's a process, and it definitely takes time. At Poulin Auto Sales and Service, we're building something great, something that our customers care about, and we're inviting you to share in our success. So buy your next pre-owned car or truck at Poulin Auto Sales and Service on Shelburne Road in South Burlington or East Berry Road in Berry. Change really is good. Poulin Auto Sales and Service, changing the way you feel about buying a car.
Now back to Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And it's 39-0. The Middlebury Tigers taking care of the Rice Green Knights on the road up in South Burlington. The only Saturday tilt of the year. We're going to be looking at a 7 o'clock start, 6:30 pregame next weekend up in Hinesburg as the Tigers take on the Red Hawks. The Tigers, of course, 7-0 and lead holders of a 29-game streak. And Marshall, some games have been close, some games not so close. How do you feel about these Tigers right now and where they're standing going into the final week of the season?
They did what they were supposed to today against a Rice team that's had their struggles throughout the season. You look at the 54-12 game that Harper put in. I think this was a similar output, 39-0 end result. So I think that, you know, you expected what we got from them, and this was what they needed to do. They needed to take care of business and not allow Rice to hang around. So this is, like Oakley said, they've got some confidence tonight. What you expected to see from them in today's game was just that, a game where they could build up some confidence and do some things to get themselves going a little bit as the postseason comes on.
Now, the Tigers coach are very strong in adjustments. I mean, one of the interesting things about the Tigers is how often a halftime makes a big difference or the adjustments they make week to week. If you're a coach, how do you go about it if you don't have a lot of adjustments to come from the previous week?
Well, I think when you beat a team like this, you know, you consistently are winning in blowouts, it actually does a good job of showing some of the things. If you are doing something that, you know, you should be doing more of, you can go out and you can see that still on tape regardless. So I think that you could still find a way to, even though it may not be as obvious against a good team maybe, but still against a bad football team, you can still see what you have to do wrong or what you can do better and things that you're getting a little lazy on. And I think they'll be able to see that in the film and be able to make those adjustments from there.
And certainly some adjustments you've talked about, the use of the counter more. The last few weeks they've been using a counter more than you saw earlier in the season, and that's something bound to make you happy. Maybe continue leading out Jerry Debo a little bit and how productive he was today. And a little bit of the passing of the Tigers, you know, I have to say, a pretty good all-around team right now. They're doing everything.
The offense is starting to click well, and I think that's good good thing for them in the long run to be able to have a little offense, get that thing going, and get the offense going come postseason time.
All right, folks. Well, we're going to let you get on with your beautiful sunny afternoon. Go out and enjoy yourself and enjoy some of this beautiful Vermont fall foliage. Maybe a little more time towards peak, but not long. Thank you very much for joining us here. We'll see you next Friday as Middlebury takes on CVU for the final regular season game of the year. For Marshall Hastings, for Jim Tye, for everyone involved in 92.1 WVTK, I'm Bjarke Sears, and we will see you next week.
You've been listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK. Tiger Football all season long on WVTK is brought to you in part by
your locally owned credit union, One Credit Union, Green Street in Vergennes. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 70 years. Addison County Commission Sales, Addison County's premier destination for Vermont livestock. Martin's Hardware of Bristol and Middlebury, your True Value hardware store. Bordon Insurance of Middlebury, home of the co-op chicks for all your insurance needs. Eustace Farm Supply and Hardware, proudly started and run by the Eustace family of Brit Porsche. Muddyman Farms of Weybridge, join the movement and support local farms. The A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol, sustainable timber harvesting and SFI certified. Vermont Field Sports, for all your hunting needs and a great selection of new and used guns, Route 7 in Middlebury. Mike's Auto and Towing, for all your car care needs and a whole lot more. Mike'sAutoMid.com. That's Mike's Auto, M-I-D-D.com. The National Bank of Middlebury, offering accounts for every stage of life to meet your financial needs in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Vergennes. LaBerge Insurance, LaBerge equals insurance, Washington Street in Middlebury. Poulin Auto, changing the way you feel about buying a car in South Burlington and Barrie. Woodware Fine Furniture, Route 7 South in Middlebury. Desibray's Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat, 1232 Exchange Street in Middlebury, with a drop-off location at Linda's Apparel in Vergennes. Foster Motors, home of the We Care People on Route 7 in Middlebury. Fourth and Goal, everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and diamond, 68 Main Street in Middlebury. Mike's Fuels, for all your home, business, and agricultural needs, Route 22A in Bridport. Della Motorsports in Plattsburgh, making your buying experience a pleasant one. And J.P. Carrera and Sons Concrete, always ready to mix, and they guarantee a solid finish. Call them at 388-6363.
For a complete schedule of sports heard on 92.1 WVTK and more information, visit 921WVTK.com. Thanks for listening. This has been a local sports production on Addison County's 92.1 WVTK.